If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Just let rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
Listen to me, okay? And please believe what I'm saying. I truly don't like you as a person. Can't one human being not like another human being? Can't we all just not get along?
Yeah! Yeah! Everybody, your mom, die, 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 your mom, yeah.
Just let rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
He's one talented Negro.
And now,
we hope you have a good time. We hope you enjoy yourselves, and I thank you all for coming. And, what do I do now? What?
Pass away.
Oh, yes, that's it. Oh, for God's sakes, I'm sorry. Please watch this. I didn't know that, for crying out loud.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Tuesday, the 4th of Slut-tember.
Slut! 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 Slut!
There it is.
Very well done. Thank God we figured out what that was at the end of last week.
And by we figured out, you mean the K-Rock listeners emailed us and told
us.
Yes.
Yeah. We thought it was Sextember.
Well, it was for a while.
I know, but
this is way better. I didn't think it was Sextember. It never sounded right to me, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So I was glad for the listener that came through with Slut-tember, because now we know.
Excellent.
Thank God they have memories so that we don't have to.
So the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon.
I tried to watch that a couple of times just to see. It's so bad.
The freakiest show on television. It's the 42nd year he's done it as a national show. 42 Labor Day weekends in a row, okay? And it used to be a really big deal. Back when, you know, we were all kids, it was top of the charts entertainment.
I mean, it was the biggest never top of the charts.
Yes.
No.
Big actors, big stars, absolutely. Ralph will back me up on this.
It was
huge. I mean, it was the place to go. Yeah. I mean, they had like the Rolling Stones on and people like that were on this show. Okay. And the lineup now of people on this show is so unbelievably lame. I mean, you wouldn't put him in. What's that parade that Ralph does sometimes?
Huntington
Beach, maybe?
Hawthorne.
Yeah, the Hawthorne. You wouldn't put this level of entertainment in the Hawthorne Christmas Parade, yet they put him on a national telethon. And Jerry Lewis, I mean, God bless him. It's hard to fault the dude because he's raised so much money. I mean, he raised $63 million for muscular dystrophy research this weekend. I mean, that's very impressive. It needs to be done, right? But he's just senile and you can't believe it's on television.
There does come a point where you have to pass the
baton.
The baton. Yeah, you have to say, okay, whoever's
What's
next.
What's wrong with you people? Come up with the words today.
Whoever's next, take over because I'm old and I can't do it anymore.
Wouldn't you be discouraged that you've raised so much money and still they haven't cured it? At one point you go, oh, for God's sakes, never mind.
Yeah.
This one's incurable.
How much does a person have to do?
He does claim that the scientists tell him they're close. Every year he comes out and says, oh, we're so close now. And they say the cure is going to come in my lifetime. Well, at some point, you know, they're going to have to deliver on that because his lifetime is, well, it's drawing relatively close to the end. But at least he has the very spry Ed McMahon as his sidekick. I mean, that's the one thing. If you're going to have a guy who's in his 80s host the show, at least have a guy who's, also in his 80s be the sidekick, right?
Yeah.
And you get a lot of conversation like this.
Jerry, over here.
Now you what?
No, wait a minute. Did somebody interrupt you a little moment ago?
Yeah.
Well, why was that?
Well, because... Why?
It confused me. I didn't know. I thought you were still talking. And then they come up and did this whole thing about the South Point Resort and Spa. And I didn't know if you were interrupted or not. We've got to stop that.
Did you study in North Carolina?
Does anyone understand what that means?
Maybe he's making jokes about that chick that was in the
teen
pageant,
Miss Teen USA,
South Carolina.
And by that he means Miss Teen South Carolina. Is that who he means?
Yeah, that's what he meant.
I mean, that would be my guess. If not, I have no idea what he means.
No, I'm sure that's it.
So Ed interrupts him to ask if Jerry had been previously interrupted by a promo that they ran for the... By the way, this is how red hot the telethon is again this year. Broadcasting live from Las Vegas from the South Point Casino.
What?
Ever heard of it?
No.
Nor have I. That's where they were.
I've been to Vegas 5 million times. I've never heard of the South Point.
That is where they were broadcasting live from. And
wow.
So you listen to Ed and Jerry, and they sound like, you know, guys sitting at the, you know, sitting at the at the chess board at the retirement home
at the
having a conversation. So did you study in North Carolina? And Ed just can't be laughing anymore. Nervous laughter from the audience going, is this supposed to be funny? Are we supposed to be laughing?
What's he talking about?
This, by the way, I want to remind you, is on television. Yeah. This is actually for people to see in their homes.
Okay.
Okay.
I wasn't born here, but I'm sure going to die here unless we watch it.
Oh, that's easy for you to say.
I don't even know what that means.
Stop, both. Just stop.
What does that mean?
Were they punchy? Are they like an hour 50 or something?
No. This, ladies and gentlemen, hour one.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
Excellent. Hour one.
Oh,
now,
my
let me just continue for one half a minute more because I'm excited to see the entertainment because you come out of the gate on Sunday night when the show debuts. You come out of the gate strong, right? I mean, that's where if you've got heavy hitters, you bring them out at the beginning and you bring them out at the end to get people excited about your telethon, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering who is going to be the first musical act 12 minutes into the start of the broadcast.
This next performer is a Grammy award winner.
I don't know if he was doing it to be funny or if
of
he
course
just
not.
No, I don't think
can't
so
read anymore.
Take that back.
What?
This next performer is a Grammy award winning legend who was celebrating 41 years of performing. She has just released a brand new CD on the shelf.
By the way, you think Ralph's impression when he does it is him like exaggerating, right? It's not. That's what Jerry Lewis sounds like now. So 41 years, Grammy Award winner, start of the show, big musical entertainment, big name.
Factory label quote, A Woman's Touch, which is a salute to the classic songs we all know and love. Give an MDA welcome to Miss Thelma Houston right there.
Thelma Houston.
Thelma Houston had one hit more than 30 years ago.
What was it?
Don't Leave Me This Way. And she's...
Oh, the disco song.
The lead-off entertainment for the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon, the 42nd Annual Muscular Dystrophy Telethon.
His opening act.
I got to tell you, I've...
Thelma Houston.
It didn't occur to me one time that was on, nor does it any Labor Day weekend.
You're always surprised when we come back on the day after Labor Day.
Oh, hey, that was the Labor Day Telethon, of course. Yeah, I didn't think about it. But it sounds like it might be getting bad enough that I need to start tuning back in.
Yes, you might.
You know?
That's why I can't miss it. That's why I watch it.
Wow.
It's shockingly bad, right?
Well, yeah.
Jerry Lewis is doing an imitation of Jerry Lewis now.
And a bad one. He's going to have to sue himself.
I know.
You know.
Ralph does it better than he does. Well, anyway, I do have some more highlights for you later. But that is
great.
A show that you probably haven't watched, but you need to start, I think, K-Rock listeners, because it's 20 hours of that.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Good times.
You know how certain authors who use pen names will die, and they'll just continue writing books in that name, but you know various people will collaborate? I can totally see Jerry Lewis dying and no one saying anything, and Ralph just getting like a bloated face makeup and just continuing to do this telethon for like 40 years to come.
I'm not sure they have that much makeup.
I mean, that's
a
guy.
It would take hours.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that's
they could just roll them in. That's
who knew
funny.
That they were just completely senile at this point? That's great.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
They should
I'm
just change the name to Senile TV and just go on ahead with it.
I don't know if they're not trying to get younger, more confident people to do it. I mean, you know, give Jerry a role, have him be part of it. But it seems like, you know, this hour hosted by Drew Carey. I mean, it seems like there are other people you could bring in that would kind of make it a little more contemporary.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know who would want to do that.
It seems like a very hard job.
I mean, Drew Carey's going to go, yeah, listen, that weekend.
Charity. A lot of people do stuff for charity.
Got
you
that
know
whole
what I mean?
Thing with the deal and the other thing over there on the other side with the deal with the
just throw him
meeting
an
with
hour.
The guy.
Yeah, give him an hour. I mean, Oprah should come on and do an hour.
Yeah, you know?
I mean,
get
everybody to come on and do an hour.
They
can
even do it from wherever they are if they wanted.
Yeah, exactly. And raise a lot more money instead of, you know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe up the ante on the entertainment, too.
Yeah.
How dare you? Thelma Houston. Wow, that was something. Wow. It makes me feel better. I know he's 100, but makes me feel a little better.
Maybe Kevin should host it. That would be an improvement.
Yeah, it's going to happen. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Let's talk about former Pittsburgh Steelers coach Bill Cowher.
How about that?
On the program today. Super Bowl winning coach.
That's impressive.
Was. Not bad. So we got him today. Talking about, I think he's talking about DirecTV, their football package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, football starts this week, I think.
Yes, it does.
Is it tonight?
I think it's Thursday tonight.
Thursday night.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But, I'm so excited football's finally back. Now we got somebody says baseball. You know what I'm saying?
Although mm-hmm. baseball couldn't be any more exciting than it is right now.
That's right. Awesome. You're exactly right.
It's
never been
awesome.
It's never been exciting for 1 second.
The baseball season's getting so good.
Now tell me why. How?
It's just
it's playoff races. That's all.
And the races are close in a lot of the divisions. And
how are the Dodgers doing?
Dodgers are 4 games back for the Western National League West, and they are 3 games back in the wild card race,
okay.
Which seems
so
a little
every
more
game
reasonable.
Counts is the point.
Angels.
Angels are going to win the National League West.
Yes.
Or the American League West.
I mean, American League West.
What about that other team from the Northwest that we hate?
Well, the Mariners, actually, they have the same amount of losses as the Yankees in the wild card, but they are up, if I believe, in the standings because they have so many games that have been rained and snowed out in the beginning of the year. So the
how are they up?
To translate for Mike, they're one game behind in the wild card.
Oh. Please, sweet Jesus, have them not make it.
How dare you? And they pasted the Yankees yesterday. Very
seriously,
excited.
Lisa. You know what it's going to be like.
I'm with you.
He's been talking about this damn baseball season now for 5 years.
I'm going to start praying tonight.
I think there's only 27 games left in the regular season, Kevin.
27?
I think that's all that's left, yeah.
The entire football season isn't that long.
Yeah, that's true.
They're pussies.
Yeah, that's what they are compared to big, fat baseball players.
Kevin, are you growing your beard and mustache?
I am, yes.
Oh, my God.
Hey, come on. We said we were going to grow the mustache.
Yes, you did. I was thinking, oh, you're just being lazy, but
no,
there you are.
It's the
fuzzy.
Comedy stash.
Mike.
I'm getting great abuse. Yeah, what's going on with Mike? Where's yours, Mike?
I started earlier than everybody, and then I was getting crap about it over the weekend, and
well,
I said,
"No kidding."
And I said,
"Well, we all are, but you have to stick with it."
No, well, I just totally didn't have faith in you guys at all. So,
how dare you?
But here's the deal: I grow mine quicker than anyone. Yeah. I don't have the best stash, but I hit terminal velocity the quickest. My stash comes in like a day and a half,
and that helps us how when
because
you
I'm
just keep shaving.
Now that I'm back at work and I see that you guys are legitimately going for it, I'll just start growing again. And by Vegas, I'll be banging. I'll be Burt Reynolds by
then. Vegas is Thursday.
Well, dude.
That's this Thursday.
I'll practically have
it's
a mustache
Tuesday
by
now.
The 9 o'clock hour. You don't understand, dude. Hispanic
well,
jeans.
One of the things we're going to do on today's Kevin and Bean Show is talk to Mrs. Bean because I got nothing but abuse from her over the weekend about what tiny little bit of hair I have already. And
yeah.
She is really putting her foot down on this, saying I can't do it. And I'm trying to tell her, you know, bros before hoes, but it's not flying. So I really need some backup when we talk to her in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
It's not a problem.
No, we got to cover. It's not like she's going to cut you off from sex.
Right. What leverage does she have?
That happened in 91. But what I mean is she just thinks it looks so bad. She just hates it so much.
Right.
She hates mustaches.
Right.
And so she won't.
But I have many points, and one is, isn't it really the closest thing to something manly you've done in, like, 20 years?
How dare you?
I mean, shouldn't she say, hey, my husband, who likes Barry Manilow and High School Musical 2, is trying to grow some facial hair. It's the first thing he's done that convinced me he's a dude.
There's some proof he has testosterone.
He almost got in a fist fight at that one concert one time.
She's also worried that we're going away on vacation in a couple of weeks, and all of our vacation photos are going to be me looking more stupid than usual because
yes.
I don't have a baby mustache.
Yes,
you know?
And that's
and
bad.
And the world
why?
Will come to a halt.
Well,
just
not how she wants to
photos.
Remember.
Just
not how she wants to remember her trip to Italy. That's all.
Tell her that you'll take the photos.
Yeah, take pictures of her.
Okay.
Nobody wants to see you anyway, dude. Clive Owen's on the show today. Talking about his
about
new movie
that
it opens up Friday called Shoot 'Em Up, which looks fantastic.
It does look great.
Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Bad guy, Clive Owen. We're going to talk to a Cambridge math professor today who has come up with a mathematical formula that proves that Jessica Alba has the sexiest walk in the world.
I don't even know what to say about that.
I don't
that.
Either. And listen, the guy's a mathematics professor, for God's sakes. He's got to figure out a way to look at breasts.
To get sex in there somehow.
Yeah. Make it seem like it's some kind of research.
No, honey, it's work.
people who serve subpoenas, we're going to talk to you today in the 6 o'clock hour.
I'm looking forward to that.
Elephant on heroin, we're going to talk about that this morning.
Okay.
K-Rock LA Invasion tickets. We have your tickets for that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And LaQuisha takes a look at the Celebrity Rap Superstar.
Excellent.
Which is an amazing show on MTV that you have to see. And that's just after 6. We'll take a quick break. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Hey!
Gotta do what you gotta
do. Needs a hey.
It does.
What does it need a hey?
How come they can't see that?
Because they're bad.
5:52. It is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Ralph, how was your weekend?
Am I here yet?
I don't know. You tell us.
I don't know either.
Why do people have the Labor Day parties on the Labor Day itself? The Monday day, the Labor Day holiday. Why are the people rocking the parties that day?
Instead of Sunday, so they have a day of rest?
Yes, people. Throw the parties on Sunday so we can all recover on Monday instead of having the party on Monday and then recovering today.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
Does make it a lot harder.
Oh, man.
So you're feeling good?
I'm sorry?
You're feeling good.
Who are you again?
You're ready to go to Las Vegas on Wednesday.
I'm ready to go to Vegas just to cool off.
Yeah. That's true. Hello.
It's only hitting 100 in Vegas. That's the high.
That's nothing.
As opposed to the 127 it was yesterday in Woodland Hills. That's where my party was. I was just in the pool all day.
You went to Woodland Hills.
I was just underwater.
I can't believe you went over the hill.
I was underwater, and I had one tube for air and another tube for vodka. And they just kept pouring vodka down the one tube, and I was breathing through the other. Yeah, it was spectacular.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, the thing is, though, when the weather's hot, and you're in the pool, and it's a party in Woodland Hills, girls are much more apt to take their tops off.
That is true.
They find the bikini tops very constricting and way too hot to wear. So there's a lot of girls just opting out.
What does that look like from underneath the water?
It's good. It looks real good.
You have a mask on?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had flippers and everything. Right. It looked like the freaking Jacques Cousteau of Woodland Hills yesterday. It was very entertaining. So anyway, I had a great weekend. It was very... very fun. Much too short, though.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Let's talk about movies. While I was underwater, people were going to the theaters in droves to see Halloween. Debuting at number one this weekend, made $31 million.
Glad to see that.
How about that?
That's way ahead of what they were predicting, right, Ralph?
Yeah, it did really, really well. Well, people love the horror movies. And I think as you guys were talking to Rob Zombie last week about it, it's much better to get ahead of the Halloween curve than it is to release it at Halloween, where it becomes old news in a couple weeks. You know, this way people can look forward to it and watch it all the way up to the holidays.
So. That's true.
Congratulations to Rob and crew. Superbad continues its strong showing. It was number two at the box office yesterday, made $15.6 million. Then big at number two, Balls of Fury, in its debut, made $13.8 million. Did you catch that, Kevin? I know that's you were looking forward to that.
Didn't have time.
Didn't have time for Balls of Fury?
But I'll tell you the one I did go to when you get to it.
All righty. The Bourne Ultimatum? Jeez, I'm looking ahead already. I can't imagine what it could be. I know you've seen Bourne Ultimatum already.
Yes.
That was number four.
Fantastic.
Rush Hour 3?
No.
That was number five at the box office this weekend. Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Would have been better.
Oh.
Would have been better than what you saw?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Number six was Mr. Bean's Holiday. Made $8 million this weekend. Still very strong showing for that British comedy.
You know, that movie has made over $200 million worldwide already.
Yes.
Oh, my
Mr. Bean's Holiday.
It's a big hit. That character is beloved over there in the UK.
That guy can write some dialogue, can he?
Yeah, he doesn't really say much.
Oh.
Makes a lot of faces, though. The Nanny Diaries, number seven.
That's what I saw.
Scarlett Johansson.
In spite of the reviews?
Yeah, my wife wanted to see it.
Sure.
I said,
okay. Every woman in America wants to see it.
So she said, you want to go see Nanny Diaries? And I, you know, I don't pay that much attention to the critics, so I thought, well, it's Scarlett Johansson. I can look at her
How bad could it be?
An hour and a half, right?
Right.
Wow, that was bad.
Really?
But at least her acting chops saved it, right?
She wasn't the worst part of that movie.
Really?
No. And at the end of it, my wife turned to me and she went, that was really crappy, wasn't it? I said, yeah, it was really crappy.
You don't choose anymore, you should have said to her at that point.
Oh, no, I don't get that. I don't get the option of having her not choose because I choose really bad movies
as well.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, she would have gone to see Balls of Fury if it hadn't been for her pick.
Well,
it was bad.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
Death
go.
Sentence was number eight, the new Kevin Bacon film. Made $5.2 million at the box office. War. Huh. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again. Nine at the box office this weekend. $5.1 million.
You guys are going to be sad when that drops off the top.
I really will. Won't be able to do our little routine anymore. And Stardust rounding out your top 10 at the box office. A lot of marriages over the weekend. I guess people taking advantage of the long weekend to exchange nuptials. Kate Walsh of Grey's Anatomy and her boyfriend, movie executive Alex Young, got married this weekend.
Which one is she on Grey's Anatomy? I don't know.
She is the redhead, the one who split the show to do her own show this fall. She'll have Private Practice, the spinoff from Grey's Anatomy.
She used to be McDreamy's wife.
Ah, the you mean his ex or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
There
that's
you go. Used to be, right.
The hell do I know?
Wow, Lisa got him with McDreamy's ex-wife, and I couldn't do it with the redhead. I figured that was the safest way to go for a long time. Yeah. Just sort of visually combing the landscape of Grey's Anatomy, that might pop out to you.
It's been a long time.
I didn't know you knew the characters, you knew McDreamy's ex-wife.
It's been a long time.
Sorry, Nanny Diary. Maybe you should have gone through that show.
Wow. What's going on?
And also Juliana DePandy from E! Entertainment Television. Yeah. She married Bill Rancic, who is the winner from Apprentice Season 1. The guy who won the first Apprentice.
Oh, I remember him. He was okay.
They got married this weekend, too.
Interesting.
Juliana DePandy looks like an alien, by the way.
Yes.
She does. I agree.
Giant, bulbous cow eyes that are sort of at a slant, and a giant melon just floats around the studio. It's
she's
very disturbing.
One of those chicks that, like, at times you're like, yeah, that chick's hot. No. And then at other times you're like, wait a second, that's Nick Van Exel. With the dress on.
She's an eerie-looking broad.
Van Exel, by the way. One of the ugliest players in the NBA.
And if there are marriages in Hollywood, you know there have to be divorces as well. Heath Ledger and Michelle Williams split up over the weekend.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
They had a daughter together, Matilda, now 2 years old. Reportedly, they were rumored to have been married earlier this year, but they never formally...
tied the knot?
Well, they never... said one way or the other whether they had or not. The rumors were that they did get married. However, it looks like they're splitting up. So,
she caught the cable version.
Oh, yes, Heath Ledger. Oh, yes. It's like a big sausage. Oh, yes. That's right, Jake Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a spicy sausage. How do you like that? Oh, yes.
You mean she finally saw that movie she was in, Kevin?
No, was she in that? I didn't know that.
She sure was.
She caught that on cable, that movie she starred in with Heath Ledger?
I didn't see the movie.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It's on Nanny Diaries.
We were all dying for that clip to end.
I didn't realize that. I didn't watch the movie. Sorry.
Speaking of Brokeback Mountain...
Yeah.
How about Brokeback?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Heath Ledger.
Okay. How about Brokeback Anna Nicole Smith?
What?
Oh, new book. This is crazy.
New book coming out. The New York Daily News reports that a new book from MSNBC reporter Rita Cosby, my favorite reporter on television. I miss her so.
Rita Cosby was the woman who talked like this. I'm Rita Cosby. Let's talk about the Anna Nicole Smith story.
That's her. That's
lowest,
how she speaks.
Lowest voice. Of any man in television. Rita Cosby. She's got a new book out called Blonde Ambition, The Untold Story Behind Anna Nicole Smith's Death, which has a number of shocking revelations, not the least of which, don't allow me to bury the lead here, Howard K. Stern and Larry Birkhead were gay lovers.
Yay!
What the hell?
Oh, no.
Excellent.
She claims that there is actually a videotape that exists, which shows the two of them... how shall I put this delicately? Embracing with their pants around their ankles. Doing more than just having a polite conversation. If you know
this
what I'm talking about.
The whole world's gone gay!
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And because they were gay lovers, they made a secret deal about Anna Nicole's death that Larry would get the custody of Daniel Lynn and then Howard would be made executor of Anna Nicole's estate.
Which is pretty much what happened, right?
Yes. And the book also claims that Howard was... actually Anna Nicole's supplier of drugs. Not any of the doctors that reportedly were blamed for her scads of medication that she took. He kept a goodie bag of meds with him wherever they traveled. And whenever she wanted Vicodin, Valium, morphine, Demerol, any of that good stuff, he would just pop it down her throat.
He certainly served a gain by keeping her all hopped up on pills, that's for sure.
As you can imagine, the backlash has already begun. None of it is true. Larry Birkhead has said, I'm going to sue Rita Cosby. To which he said, go ahead, try to sue me. I don't care. In fact, she was supposed to be on the Today Show today to talk about this book, and NBC canceled the interview because they received threatening letters from Stern's attorney and from Birkhead's attorneys as well, saying that any false and defamatory stories that they talked about on that show, they would sue NBC over.
Really? I didn't know you could do that.
You really can't. No one ever has really taken that to court, but NBC... much like many corporations,
yes,
panicked and put their tail between their legs and decided to run like scared little girls.
Kind of a slap in the face to Rita Cosby, by the way, who worked for NBC when she wrote the book.
Yeah.
To not even back her.
I bet she's very upset today.
Do you believe, Ralph, and I know you followed this story more closely than you would have liked to have, but do you believe there's any possibility that the gay thing is true between Burkhead and Stern? Sounds too far-fetched to be true.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm not saying there's not a crazy photo at a crazy party somewhere, but I'm saying that's got to be as far as it goes.
I don't know. Here's the thing. When you're dealing with people who are just hopped up on drugs and dealing with big amounts of money and alcohol and sex, you never know what people are capable of.
Yeah.
Did they ever have sex? Maybe. Were they lovers? Did they have a secret relationship? Probably not. That's what I'm guessing. Hmm. But that Howard, he's a big homo.
Allegedly.
I'm just kidding, Howard. Don't sue.
No. Like my body?
Nope. Sorry.
Not anymore.
Going the other way. That's a little harsh.
Britney Spears made a cool 100 G over the weekend.
She did?
Yeah. She was the hostess of the grand opening of LAX nightclub inside the Luxor Hotel and Casino this weekend.
The Luxor, that's where Chris Angel is.
Who else works at the Luxor? Apparently, she showed up around midnight at the club with Chris Sarantakis.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
Brittany and Chris hung out until around 2 a.m., drinking, dancing, and then left the party together a little after that.
So she made $100,000 for 2 hours?
For 2 hours work, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah! The sound coming from their hotel room afterwards.
I think maybe Chris Angel caught that Mind Freak show on cable and realized he does magic, Ralph?
Yeah, maybe. And I know we're out of time, but we'll really get to this really quick. Apparently, someone has uncovered the top 8 ready-for-air obituary packages that CNN keeps handy at all times.
Really? So these are the people they think might pass away soon?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Interesting story. Cracked.com is the name of the website. They say they're pulling back the curtain and revealing what CNN has standing by at all times in case any of these people kick.
Jerry Lewis?
Not on the list. Not in the top 8, anyway.
These are Fidel Castro?
Not in the top 8.
Larry King?
Larry King, not in the top 8. Wow. You think CNN would know better. They should have that ready at all times. Here's the list. Number 8, Courtney Love.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go at any time.
Yeah.
Much like Courtney herself. Ready to go at any time. Number 7, I thought this was shocking to me because he's been so healthy regardless of his disease, Magic Johnson.
Oh, interesting.
Wow, here's the package ready to go.
Maybe they got it ready like at the beginning of when he got...
Maybe when he announced his
HIV. Well,
those
movie theaters in a rough neighborhood, too, so who knows?
That's true.
Could be violence for the looking at.
Number 6 makes complete sense to me. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because seriously, he's probably going to off himself, right?
Probably.
Number 5, Lindsay Lohan.
Really?
They're waiting for her to kick the bucket. They're ready to go with her.
Wow.
Number 4, Phyllis Diller.
She's still alive?
Comedian Phyllis Diller. Yes. Who's got to be in her 80s. I mean, that's a safe bet there.
No kidding.
I can't believe I didn't see her on the telephone.
I've had that one ready for 35 years.
Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy is number 3. Apparently they still think that tiger bite's going to get to him sooner than later.
Maybe the tiger's not done.
Maybe not. He's going back for a second helping. Ow. Number 2.
Joan Rivers.
Abe Vigoda.
Oh, my God.
Come on. That's a joke.
Actor Abe Vigoda.
What was he on?
He was Fish on Barney Miller back in the day, that show. He was in the Godfather movies. I mean, the guy's been an actor forever.
But the thing about him is there were rumors
about his
that
death.
He was dead, yes. And everyone started to think he was dead,
showing up
but he wasn't.
On TV shows proving that he's not dead. He's done Jimmy Kimmel Show just to say, I'm still not dead.
Seems like a tough gig to convince people you're not dead.
That's his I'm Not Dead tour.
Shouldn't quite be that hard, but...
And number 1... It's going to please a lot of the people who find our stroke comedy very humorous. Dick Clark. Dick Clark, number 1 on the CNN list.
Well, that's just sad.
Can't imagine why. Seems like he's in great shape to me.
Looks good.
Well, wasn't the damage from the stroke done? Or does it continue
Much
to be
like the tiger, it might be
threat.
Coming back for another bite.
Okay.
So, Dick. Dick Clark. Top of the list. Today's celebrity birthday is Beyonce.
Oh. Why is she so hot?
Why, indeed. She's 26 years old today.
That's why.
Kim Thayil from Soundgarden, ex-Soundgarden guitarist. He's 47 years old today. And our very own Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Yeah.
Loveline radio show host, counselor, rehabber to the stars, all-around good guy. Probably listening right now, running right now. That's probably what he's doing, running. Guy runs like 9 times a day. He
does
runs.
He really?
Yeah. He's 49 years old. Has anyone ever looked that good at 49 years old?
No.
He looks great.
No.
Guy's in amazing shape.
Yeah.
We love him so. Happy birthday, Drew. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, though, we need some help from subpoena servers.
Yeah, we started talking about this. Which entertainment story was it? It was the K-Fed Britney thing?
Yes.
Yes. K-Fed has been having subpoenas delivered all over town to everybody in Britney Spears' inner circle because he's basically trying, as we understand from our friend Harvey Levin at TMZ.com, he's basically trying to paint her as an unfit parent and try to get some more custody time with the children. And there's been all these stories and all this video up at TMZ.com of people literally running from a subpoena server. And I guess, and this is what I don't know, and we want to talk to people who have done this at 1-800-520-1067. I guess they have to hand it to you? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah.
They have to physically serve you with it. And the rules are weird. Like you hear exactly like people saying, it didn't touch me, it didn't touch me.
But I have heard other people say that you can post it in the newspaper. I've heard other people say that you can take it to their house and have another adult sign for it, and that constitutes delivery. I mean, I don't know what the real rules are on how to officially give someone a subpoena. You know, the last time Kevin and I got served, I mean, we invited the guy in on the state, you know, on the radio and talked to him about it. He brought paperwork to make us appear at a deposition. But we want to talk to people who have had to serve subpoenas and find out if it's as exciting as it is in the movies, where you literally have to wait out in front of somebody's house and follow them to the gym and then follow them and sit outside their work and just wait until you can come up to them in a parking lot at a 7-Eleven and hand them legal paperwork.
It seems like when it comes to the courts, there's not a lot of comedy. There's not a lot of leeway. It just seems like it's hard, fast rules. And how is it possible then if somebody's serving you a subpoena that you can literally just physically dodge them? Literally run from them or don't let them catch you. As long as nobody serves you a subpoena, you don't have to go to court. What sense does that make?
It does seem like a huge loophole.
I mean, what the hell?
Like if you could just go on vacation until the trial.
Because it does seem like if you're running from or dodging a subpoena server, then you know you're being requested. Your presence is being requested. It's not like you can then claim, well, I didn't realize you guys were trying to get a hold of me. So what's the point of running from it?
But it's doable, dude, because as long as they don't serve you, you don't have to go to court. That's my favorite thing. It seems like that's one of those things that nobody's taken care of yet, and I can't figure out why. I mean, doesn't it seem like they could, you know, a letter to your house? What do they call those when they...
Certified mail.
Sure. Mail, something like that.
But can't you, like, not take certified mail?
Yes.
I guess.
And that's how people all the time avoid paperwork from the government about taxes or whatever. They want to be able to claim, oh, I didn't get that letter. They just don't pick it up at the post office.
Or
they
go to the post office. Oh, jury summons.
Maybe some people do that. Hey, how about the San Bernardino public offender on the defender? Excuse me, on the line. How about Doreen? Huh.
All right. Let's begin with Doreen. Good morning, Doreen. How's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
You're a public defender in San Bernardino.
I am actually the public defender of San Bernardino.
Wow, you're busy.
That must be the busiest job in the United States.
Well, it's the largest geographic county in the contiguous United States.
So
yes.
you lost a bet or something, right?
No, I actually was very, very lucky to be appointed last year.
All right.
Well, Doreen, we don't understand how the subpoena serving works. What can you fill us in with that we don't know?
Well, I had actually called in to let you know that, in fact, you do not actually have to touch the subpoena in order to be served.
What are the rules?
The rules are if you are in the area or I don't know the exact the language I'm driving in my car right now, but essentially what happens is if the subpoena server clears that you are in fact that person, which they can do either by photograph or by asking you your name, and then just informs you this is a subpoena, you are ordered to be in court, that is enough service as long as they
All
have
right.
the document.
What if they say this is a subpoena, blah, 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 and I start doing that?
Well,
she didn't get the whole sentence out.
They have the document in their hand. They try to serve you. They drop it on the ground. They say, that's a subpoena. You're ordered to be in court. Or that's a subpoena for you. That is good service.
Does this get fought a lot by people who say, didn't touch me, didn't touch me?
They can do that all they want, but it would be contempt of court if they were served.
So if they get served and they do like Kevin does, then they can like be thrown in jail and fined and stuff.
Well,
for not showing up.
I would never do that, Doreen.
Now, we've seen this subpoena in the news with the K-Fed and Britney thing a lot lately, Doreen, but is this fairly commonplace? Do you often have to send out subpoenas, or are most people not running from you?
Well, no, we have to send out subpoenas for a variety of different reasons, but yes, we do have people running from subpoenas, absolutely.
You know what else is funny that I found out? That's that whoever is subpoenaing the guest, they're responsible for that, right? Like, K-Fed's lawyers would be responsible for the subpoena, not court
servers, okay. Right?
What would happen is KFED's lawyers would call in the subpoena server to testify that I saw X, Y, or Z. I identified that person by asking their name or confirming by picture that that is the person.
Right.
I informed them that this is a subpoena. Yeah, they refused to take it from me, but I left it for them for their taking. And that's
interesting. It just seems like that's got a giant waste of the court's time.
All right, one more question, Doreen. And if you just tuned in late, Doreen is the public defender for the County of San Bernardino. Do you have a policy where subpoena servers have to now say, served, 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 you got served, served? It seems like that ought to be required.
Is that newly legislated? I'm not familiar with
it
that.
It is law. In the movie theaters, my dear. It is in the movie theaters.
Well, if they have to do a little dance with it, that would be a lot of fun for everybody.
Yes, it would. Thank you, Doreen, for your call. We appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and come back with your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Right now we're talking about subpoenas and how ridiculous it seems.
Mm-hmm.
You can just run from them.
People chase you.
I don't know that we've ever talked to subpoena servers before, but let's start with line four. We got Gary on the line from Downey. This is exactly the kind of thing that we're talking about that really should never be part of our legal system. Good morning, Gary. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
How's it going, boys?
Good, thanks.
So great. Now, you had the task of serving someone a subpoena one time?
No, I had the task of organizing it because I was suing an ex-girlfriend's mom. And I knew she was expecting it, so I had to be tricky about it.
So you're suing your ex-girlfriend's mom for what?
Like 10 years ago. I think she had some property of mine.
Okay.
Okay.
So how did you sneak the subpoena to her?
Well, I had a friend that worked for Pizza Hut, so he knocked on the door and said, I have a delivery. She's all, I didn't order a pizza, but I think I know who did. She's all, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get involved in your personal thing. She goes, here's some free coupons, handed her an envelope. And just as she opened the gate and took it, he goes, oh, by the way, I'm working for Gary. You're being served.
Nice.
And he threw it right back at him. He just sort of walked away.
Very clever. Very clever.
But she got served.
Yeah. But you, see, that's one thing. You can't risk not getting your pizza.
Right.
I mean, that's the guarantee. Like, if somebody shows up at my door with a pizza, I'm taking the pizza. Got to do it. Sorry. All right. Let's say good morning to Chris in Anaheim, who has a very funny story. Chris, good morning.
How you doing?
You're a subpoena server?
I'm a private investigator, and our license covers all sorts of process service.
Okay.
Awesome.
Tell us one about the brain surgeon.
Well, a lot of our cases, we work for the defense in civil suits, and expert witnesses, doctors and such, if they make a diagnosis for the plaintiff in a case, then the defense attorney wants to get him into court or either a deposition. The problem with the expert witnesses is they charge an astronomical amount of money on an hourly basis to show up for deposition, whereas if the defense subpoenas them, they don't get paid. They might get paid some paltry witness fees.
I see.
So these fellas go way out of their way to avoid service. I tried serving this doctor at his office, which is probably my first mistake. So that alerted him to the fact that he was going to be deposed. So I started showing up at his home. Probably the third time that I was there, he parked around the corner and was hiding in some bushes. I saw his vehicle. Yeah, he was very determined not to be served. So,
yeah, of course.
So I flip a U-turn, and I'm watching his car from about 20 yards down the street, and he gets out of the bushes and jumps in his car. And he's over there in Santa Monica, just north of Wilshire. So I pull up, and I'm, probably 3 feet away from him, sitting in my car. He's sitting in his car by now. And I'm yelling at him, hey, bro, open up your window kind of thing. He pretends that I'm not there, and he splits down to Wilshire Boulevard.
That's what I would have done.
About 5:30 in the afternoon, and I start following him, and there's a lot of traffic, and he's weaving through streets, blowing signs, cutting off traffic.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And at that point, I decided that it's probably too much of a liability to force the brain surgeon into a traffic collision.
If the guy's willing to blow a sign, for God's sakes, I mean, the sign doesn't even appreciate that. So thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Aaron in Brea. Good morning, Aaron. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Aaron.
Tell us about your mom getting served.
Well, my parents are going through this divorce, and my mom had filed the papers, and
my dad decided to file some papers to her, and he had this guy go to her work. She's an esthetician at a salon, and he goes in, he gets a facial, he gets, like, the works, he gets everything done.
Right.
And at the end, he's like, you know, I have to give you something. I have to give you these papers you're being served, but I really want you to be my, you know, my esthetician. I want to come and get facials done every month or so. And she's just standing there like, are you joking me? Are you kidding? My dad had told her where she worked, and he totally went and...
I like the server that wants to continue on with her service.
I do, yeah, too.
She told him to go shove it, but thank God.
Does that work?
No, I think he's used to that, actually.
It just, you know, it's just so weird. It seems like they're, when it comes to the courts and the court system, it just seems weird that guys are hiding in bushes.
That our legal system at work is people chasing people down the street. Yeah.
Other guys are getting facials so that they can serve an esthetician. It's
pretending
just,
to order pizza.
What the hell is going on here? This is like it would be if I set the system
if
up.
If you ran it, yeah.
That wouldn't be good for
me. Okay, this next hilarious comedian is truly a dear friend of mine and has been for a long time. And a friend of MDA. We are so thrilled that he is young, that he is joining us, rather, to again perform and also be the co-host.
What?
Although he has a full schedule, he always makes time for us. Please, me, him, net, call, fate, Roman Dallas Caden Bovedick. Here's Norm Crosby, ladies and gentlemen, there he is.
All right, that's not a joke. That's Jerry Lewis from the Labor Day Telethon over the weekend introducing another superstar performer on the telethon, Norm Crosby.
Oh, my God.
Ralph, you may have to adjust your impression because he's too shockingly coherent the way you do him.
Wow.
I mean, dude, right?
Wow.
That was in hour two, by the way. That was in hour two.
He's our national treasure.
Yes, he is.
He is.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
But when you bring acts like Norm Crosby onto the show, no one listening has ever heard of him, yet he was featured entertainment on the telethon.
He should blackmail himself into giving money to the MDA. You know?
I agree. 6:56, Clive Owen next hour. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Despite what you say about him.
I'm sorry?
Despite what you say about him.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis still raised a record amount this weekend for muscular dystrophy. Over $63 million they raised.
What we're saying is not incorrect, however.
No.
He has gone bye-bye.
And yet, people still watch and people still give money. So maybe they're just doing out of just pity now. Just out of sympathy.
So sad.
You know, look at that poor old crazy man asking us for money. Let's give him a couple bucks.
Just give him maybe some. Maybe he'll go away.
Let's stop trying to squeegee our windows if we give him a fiver.
The crippled kids are going to start giving their money to Jerry. He needs it more than they do.
Yeah, that's spectacular. Good stuff. Rob Zombie had a pretty good weekend.
Yes, he did.
Halloween was number one at the box office this weekend. $31 million it made in its debut.
Jackpot.
People like that Michael Myers.
Yes, they do.
Sure. Remember him in Austin Powers? He was so good. Oh, that was so funny.
Different. That was Mike Myers, the actor.
That was
Michael Myers, the Halloween guy.
You up in my mask, baby.
That's kind of a
mixture. Do I make you dead, baby? He was saying this movie.
I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to be great.
That's what happens.
He's got the glasses and the funny teeth and all.
A lot of vagina. I'll kill you now because I'm a murderer, baby.
Oh, he's great.
Number two at the box office, Superbad. $15.6 million. People just keep going to this movie.
Yes,
it's got what they call legs.
And rightfully
so.
It
has. Unlike Jerry's kids, it has legs.
Oh, wow. Like Jerry, by the way.
It's got head, like Jerry does. Balls of Fury, number two at the three at the box office this weekend. Debuted with $13.8 million. Don't write me letters, by the way. Don't write me emails. Oh, those kids are really sick. Don't make fun of them. Don't send me those. I know they're sick. It was just a joke, people.
No such thing, Ralph.
Every time I say something now, I'm just worried about who's going to bitch about it.
I know.
And how many more meetings we need to have after the show.
Got one today.
Well, I know we do. I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
Kevin asked for one. That's how bad things are around here. Kevin actually asked for a meeting with management. That's how bad it is here, people.
The new formula, though, is if you offend one person, it is no longer acceptable to put it on the radio, Ralph.
I know, but I just know correct. I'm going to go in the office after this, and we get a scad of emails saying, my uncle had muscular dystrophy, and it's not funny.
So you'd like to say noted.
Noted. I know it's not funny.
Taken care of.
It was just a little joke.
Don't need to type it out.
Not actually making fun of the people who have the disease is what I'm trying to say.
Although when Jerry sings at the end of the telethon to those poor kids in wheelchairs, you'll never walk alone. That's just cruel, I still think.
I think you're missing the point of the song. Should he change it to You'll Never Roll Alone? Is that what he should do?
Maybe so.
Born Ultimatum was number 4 at the box office. Rush Hour 3 was number 5. Mr. Bean's Holiday was 6. The Nanny Diaries, which Kevin says go twice. That's
I'm
what his
sorry I
is.
Did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Seeing it once is not enough, says Kevin Ryder, K-Rock Radio.
And she's hot and all, but that movie blows.
She gets in her panties a couple times, doesn't she?
Well, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Kind of.
Yeah. Part of the problem with Kevin, though, Ralph, is he has to take his wife, and then if Linus wants to go, he's got to go back and take Linus.
That's true. He's got to see it twice.
There is no Linus, by the way.
That's Linus sitting between the two of them, holding the popcorn.
Trying to do the trick to both of them.
Both of us. That's right.
What do you need, Kevin, of the Kevin and Bean Show?
He's got a moist towelette to wipe down Kevin's fingers when he gets butter on them.
That's not
it's
butter.
Like, it's like one bite, then wipe, one bite, wipe, one bite, wipe.
I'm not quite sure I know what you're talking about.
Well, you should ask your personal assistant, Linus, who takes care of your every need, Kevin, of the Kevin and Bean Show. That's what we're talking about.
Death Sentence, number 8 at the box office. 9 was War. Stardust was number 10 at the box office. Don't have time, Cyclone. I've got to move along. Got to move along.
Hope Linus is coming to Vegas with us this week.
Oh. How could Kevin survive without
there
him?
There is no way.
He'll be, gonna, he'll who's going to hold right? Kevin's chips guys. At the table if Linus isn't there with a chip caddy?
By the way, there was
caddies, by the way.
It was about an hour and a half session of mocking Kevin while drunk in Vegas that happened after Friday's show.
Oh, yeah, I think we need to...
It went on and on.
Dig deep into the archives and show up with some tape, maybe.
Psycho Mike went back, found some best of bits or whatever, some tape.
Awesome.
Some previous Kevin escapades drunk in Vegas.
Every single person on the floor
you
laughing.
You don't understand. Usually when we do Vegas, we do one show, maybe two. We're doing like half a dozen shows from Vegas this week. It's going to be ridiculous.
Brutal.
And I'm going to be professional as I always am.
That's what we're counting on. Just like you always are is what we want.
Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
Oh, don't get started already, Kevin. Come on.
Britney Spears, speaking of Las Vegas, made a quick $100,000 this weekend. She was the hostess for the grand opening of the LAX nightclub inside the Luxor Hotel and Casino.
How about that?
Their grand opening, they gave her $100,000 just to show up.
Hey, fatty! You are fat!
Now, rumor has it she tried to back out of the gig at the last minute, but her new manager insisted that she show, so she finally rolled in around midnight with Criss Angel, surprise, surprise.
Ah, what a surprise.
You know, they're just friends.
Sure.
They're just working on her act for the VMAs. That's all they're doing.
Sure.
Can't wait to see that.
If she's going there this weekend... She's got to be staying for the whole week, right? Because if she's going to be in the VMAs, as it is rumored that she will open them.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So she's going to get in all kinds of trouble, right? We should
yes,
see her all
is.
Over TMZ week? This week, shouldn't
yes.
we?
Criss
Angel. You know.
Yeah. Apparently the two hung out for a couple hours, drinking mimosas and dancing to Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
I'm sorry.
They left the place around 2 a.m., leaving together as they arrived. And then Criss made his penis disappear.
Did he? Wow.
Yeah.
And then reappear?
And then reappear.
And then disappear.
And then he had strong words with it?
Don't be a sucker.
Yeah, he asked her to be a sucker.
Is that right?
Oddly enough.
I got you.
Really interesting. Speaking of Britney, this is a great story. I hope it's true. Star Magazine's reporting that she has offered to pose for Playboy Magazine.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Playboy, however, has turned her down.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
This is Playboy Magazine, by the way. The people who will show a picture of anybody if they're tangentially famous, if they're just related to fame in any sort of just vague, imperial way, they will put a picture of you in there. If you're like a WWE diva, they'll slap you on the cover. Just any tiny bit of fame.
Any reason at all.
They asked her, come back when you've cleaned up your act, pretty much is what they said.
Wow, fantastic.
I hope that's
true, too.
I so hope that's true.
Thank God.
And, you know, former President Bill Clinton's going to be on Oprah today.
Yeah, he's making the rounds.
Is that right?
It's the kickoff of her new fall season. Bill's got a book to sell.
What is it? Is it an autobiography or something?
I am not sure what the book is.
It's called Change, and it's all about ways that people can make the world better.
It's about nickels, dimes, pennies.
I think he's doing Letterman either tonight or tomorrow, too.
PattyPower.com, which is a... betting website, has listed a funny list of interesting wagers that you can bet on of how Bill's appearance on Oprah will go today. This is a great list. It's very funny, actually. The odds are that he will announce it's actually him who pulls the strings should Hillary become president. 33 to 1. That probably won't happen. A full French kiss for each member of the audience. 80 to 1.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Him referring to President Bush as a moron. 12 to 1. Saying he still has feelings for Monica Lewinsky. 100 to 1.
Yeah, not likely.
Not likely.
But you can win the big money that way if he
does.
That's
true, if you go for the long shot.
Right.
Jumping up and down on the couch, proclaiming his love for Hillary. 50 to 1. So that's where I'm putting my money. I think it's a good chance that'll happen. That'd be great.
It's on TV. You could see that.
All right, Rodney.
Television.
Yes, television. That's where Oprah is, on television.
Don't be a sucker.
It'd be great if him jumping down up and down the couch.
Oh, I love Hillary. Awesome. I love her. I love Hillary.
He's got the kind of sense of humor he might think about something like that, by the way.
He's not that loose
He's
yet.
Not jumping on a couch. I don't care how funny
he
is.
His wife running, I guess.
That would be the best.
It would
be the greatest thing ever.
Don't get me wrong. Maybe he'll blow on a saxophone other than that. But
you know.
He did that on Arsenio Hall.
Oh, really?
The first time he ran.
He did.
He played the saxophone.
Played the saxophone, yeah.
Yeah, people loved him.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right.
All right, we'll get you one, Rodney.
Time for you.
Rodney's active.
Who drugged Rodney out of the crypt? What's he doing up at this hour?
That's what she said.
Don't get any garlic or holy water near him.
I don't even know what that means, Rodney.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Beyonce Knowles. Beyonce. Destiny's Child, of course, her own successful solo career. She was with Michael Myers in one of those Austin Powers movies, too.
Liars.
No, she did. She did that gold member.
Oh.
26 years old today. Kim Thayil of Soundgarden, former guitarist for that band, is 47 years old today. And Dr. Drew Pinsky. How much do we love Dr. Drew?
He's the best.
One of the nicest guys in the world. Yeah. Very talented, very successful. Has a hard time saying no to a TV show.
Other than that,
he's a swell fella. Celebrates his 49th birthday.
He'll never believe you weren't touched. I know that.
That's true.
Whoever you are, he won't believe you
didn't
get touched.
Everything goes back to some relative doing something creepy to you.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. You know about that, don't you, Rod? I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome you to this beat.
It seems to me that many times a year, a study comes out where you go, how could scientists have spent money and time on this one? There's one in the paper this morning, Kevin, that says that women are more discriminating about who they sleep with than men.
Really?
As an example. That was a study that they spent like a year and like $400,000 on to determine that, okay?
Yeah.
This next one I know is one that's kind of captured your attention, that is like the ultimate duh of all time.
Well, some mathematics professors at Cambridge got together to figure out who had the sexiest walk.
Now, why is that necessary? Why can't you just look at a woman, scientist or not, and go, hot? Or look at a woman and go, not hot? Why does it have to come down to math?
Because disagree.
I'm guessing when you're in the scientist world, there's not a whole lot of chicks around. You know? I mean, don't you think that's pretty much what it is?
Well, that's probably it. But, I mean, you can't determine objectively who's hot and who's not because, for instance, you and Bean disagree all the time.
Right. But according to the Cambridge professors, they have made it into a mathematical formula.
Exactly.
So that they can prove that Jessica Alba has the sexiest walk in the world.
Exactly. It needed to be done.
We've got more questions and answers, so we asked Lightning to line up somebody for us, and I guess we have a professor from Cambridge University on the line right now. Good morning to Dr. Cyril Pendergrass. Hey, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes.
Now, do we have it right? Did we set it up correctly? Jessica Alba has the sexiest walk in the world, doctor?
After years and years of inputting the proper information into the computer, yes, we have come up with the fact that Jessica Alba indeed does have the perfect sexy walk to her wiggle.
Not to disparage your work, but we've known that our whole lives.
Perhaps you thought so.
Uh-huh.
But now there's actual scientific evidence to back up your assumption.
Okay, what are the scientific elements of this?
We found that the perfect ratio between hips and waist is 0.7%.
0.7%?
That's the ratio of hips to waist. This provides the body with the right torso strength to produce a more angular swing and bounce to the hips during the walking motion.
Okay. So did you analyze videotape of hundreds of women and then determine which one was closest to that number?
Using biomechanical engineering, we did take videotape as well as the actual measurements of each of the people that we examined, and she came out closest to the perfect ratio of 0.7.
Now, I see that you tested Kate Moss.
That's correct.
You tested Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Even Marilyn Monroe.
That's right, who, of course, has one of the most famous wiggling walks in all of movie history.
Right.
She's one of the most important sex symbols of the cinematic era. and we found out that that Miss Alba actually conquers even Marilyn Monroe. And in Kate Moss's case, we did her both with a syringe dangling out of her arm and without.
Because the wind dragged.
And we found it made no difference whatsoever in terms of her walk.
Now, let me ask you this, Professor. It seems to me like girls that don't have great proportions can have a super sexy walk.
Absolutely,
and girls
yes.
who do have great proportions sometimes walk like a dude.
Absolutely. There are some generalities amongst us as well. But we found that the perfect ratio for a woman to have the most ultimate sexy strut, that her hips and waist must be in proportion of 0.7. And so Jessica Alba is the prototype of the perfect body shape and type to have the most sexy walk there is. Now, of course, another woman may have the same dimensions as Ms. Alba and not have as sexy walk. But, in fact, that is the ideal. It's what we're shooting for. A woman with a 25-inch waist and 36-inch hips would have just the right proportions to carry off the most sexy of all walks.
Hmm. Now, what do you do with this information? How does this help the world, Doc?
We wank to it.
I'm sorry?
We wank it. We wank, wank, wank.
So this doesn't...
We have pictures of Jessica Alba, we just wank to them.
Does the school know that's what you do?
Oh, heavens no. I would lose my job.
Well, I would think so if you're a mathematics professor, but you should lose your job just for doing this study.
You know, you'll be surprised, too, that another variable in the equation, as well as the size of the hips and the waist, is the total weight of beef curtainage.
Doctor, what are you talking about?
Sometimes that acts as ballast. To weigh a woman down and keep her hips from swaying properly.
I can't believe you would say that.
Something else we had to examine.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to look out for the size of the mud flaps?
Would rather not.
No. Yes, you need to.
I just would rather not.
And also by using...
Sorry, Professor?
And also by using this equation, we can flip it around and find out who has the least sexy walk in the world.
So if you have a 36-inch waist and a 25-inch hip.
Exactly. Or any combination thereof. If you have an exact inverse proportion of 0.7 in terms of that ratio, you'd be surprised who has the least sexy walk of all.
Who came up the winner in that
one? We're just working on that now. Let me enter that information into the computer.
Now entering.
We'll see what the computer says.
Computing.
Oh.
Oh, it's a tie.
It's a tie.
Star Jones and John Madden. It's a tie for the least sexy walk of all time.
I can't argue with that.
I think that's largely due because John has enormous bollocks that just swing down low. Probably keeping him stationary. I'm surprised he can move at all. And Star Jones is just an ugly pig.
Professor, you're doing good work.
John, thank you so much. Keep it
up. Kevin, agree with me that Lisa's just embarrassing when we get a hottie on the phone. Just the way she talks. She's all melty. And she slobbers. And she's crude. Why can't you be so respectful of the guests like Kevin and I are when we have an attractive woman on the show?
Yeah.
Lisa, what is wrong with you?
I think I'm being exactly like you when you have an attractive woman on the show. He's dreamy.
Our next guest was in two of the best movies of 2006, Children of Men and Inside Man. He's back with a new film that opens up everywhere this Friday. It's called Shoot 'Em Up. Ladies and gentlemen, Clive Owen on the show. Hey, Clive, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing fine. So when you name your movie Shoot 'Em Up, man, that's a signal. That's a hint right there, isn't it?
It does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the film is. It's a series of incredibly witty, original, fresh shootouts, really.
Which I love.
It made me laugh when I first saw the title.
Here's what's awesome.
That was really funny.
What's awesome is that, A, Paul Giamatti is in it as well. He's a bad guy. And Clive Owen is in it. And this is so my type of movie that I would generally go by myself because my wife's not interested in. But since Clive's in it, boom, she wants to
go. She's in.
All of a sudden, she's excited about it.
They cover all the bases.
I actually have a date to one of my movies.
Now, what makes it different from so many of the other action movies, especially the ones that we've seen already this summer, Clive? Why do you say this one is original?
It was a hugely fresh and original script. You know, from the opening page, there was a scene with a guy delivering a baby in an alleyway while being shot at. That's the opening scene of the film, and it's relentlessly sort of wild and fresh and original from then on. And even the action is very sort of witty and original. And I just think it's a very, very fresh take on this genre of film, really.
Now, I have a clip of you delivering the baby to, is it Monica Bellucci?
Yeah.
How do you say her name?
Nice.
And you're trying to protect the baby from Paul Giamatti's character.
I want you to take care of this baby for a while. $5,000. That should keep you off your back for a couple of weeks.
For all I know, you snatched the kid.
I don't want to be an accessory for kidnapping.
I didn't steal the kid, trust me.
Trust you? I don't even know your real name. Who are you really, Smith?
I'm a British nanny, and I'm dangerous.
British nanny and dangerous.
That sounds funny. This story, Clive, as I understand it, was written by a guy who also directed the film, and it was one of those classic stories where he wrote the script years ago and has been peddling it around and couldn't get anybody interested and was very close to getting out of the business. Did I hear that correctly?
That's absolutely true, yeah. And that was one of the great things about doing the film, because I met Michael, and he was bursting to make this film. He'd been waiting years and years for this break. And the way he got the film made is that he wrote the script and accompanied it with this 17-minute animated pitch where all the big action sequences he animated with these stick drawings to this thumping music to show people how he intended to put the action together. And that's really what got the studios interested in making the film.
When
I met him, he'd literally storyboarded the entire film from beginning to end. So he knew every single shot of the movie before we even started shooting. And it's a very lovely thing to be around somebody whose sort of appetite and energy is so strong.
Why does it seem like I don't know, it seems like in Hollywood it's the opposite of inviting to people like this guy. It seems like they get told no 100 times, and yet it's such a unique vision. Why doesn't Hollywood embrace a unique vision more?
I think that sometimes you just got to, you know, it's one thing to have that vision, but I suppose the nervousness is on a film of this scale and size. You know, in his animated pitch, there was one point where he sort of had this big action scene going on and he thumped in, "This is John Woo's wet dream." And it's one thing sort of saying that, but John Woo's a master of the action genre. And I suppose that, you know, one of the things might have been the studio was thinking, can this guy really pull it off? Because, you know, action's a very complicated and sort of difficult thing to put together. It's a very sort of, you know, it's a real discipline to put together great action sequences. But in actual fact, Michael had been waiting so long to make this film that I think he got absolutely everything covered. And from day one, it was clear that he absolutely knew exactly what he was going to do and how he was going to do it.
You know, you've been, I noticed that you've been in the business a few years now, Clive. Is your career unfolding the way that you envisioned it?
Way beyond what I envisioned. I couldn't, you know, there's no way I could have envisaged, you know, working with the people that I've been working with and getting the opportunities I've been getting, really. I feel incredibly, you know, lucky and incredibly fortunate. You know, I had some very, you know, important breaks at important times in my career, and it's just, you know, led to getting the opportunities to work with what I consider to be some of the best people in the business. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful and appreciative of that.
Does it feel risky to you, a guy who's, you know, got to put one foot in front of the other as far as your career goes, to work with a relative, you know, completely unknown filmmaker?
No,
does that scare you?
It felt like that, because I don't look at my career in that way, really. I don't think each step is a sort of crucial, you know, you've got to, you know, I don't think of it in terms of, for me, a career is whatever film it is you're doing next, and the important thing is to do something that you want to do and to be good in it. And a film like this, I read it, I felt it was fresh, it was original, I liked him, and I thought he was absolutely prepared and ready to make a film like this. And so it never felt to me like it was a risk.
You know, I guess if you were plotting out a career, you wouldn't make so many of the wide, varied choices that you have. I mean, it must be so much fun as an actor to be in things like Inside Man and also like Sin City and also like this new one, Shoot 'Em Up. And then, you know, you got the Elizabeth 2 coming out. I mean, it's just,
true. I mean,
every day you go to work, it's like a different career.
It's true. It's the last few films that I've done, if you put them all together, from Children of Men to Shoot 'Em Up to Golden Age, which is a sort of sequel to Cate Blanchett's Elizabeth, they're incredibly sort of varied. And that's one thing that I just enjoy about my career. I think actors sometimes put themselves into a place where they're trying to protect something. They create a career and a kind of persona of what a film star is, and then they feel that, you know, they've got to keep that going. And I just prefer a career. You know, you look around at other actors, and you look at someone like Johnny Depp, who appears to be able to move in any direction he wants to and do any kind of film at any time. And that, to me, is so much more exciting than just repeating the same thing, really.
Sure.
Now, when you got involved in this movie, was Paul Giamatti already part of the process, or were you the first one, and then they got Paul?
I was the first one, but amazingly, Michael's first sort of choices for the three main parts, for me, Paul, and Monica Bellucci, he actually got. So when I signed on, he told me that he really wanted Paul Giamatti, and both he and I were thrilled when Paul said yes, because he's such a fantastic actor.
Oh, he's amazing. He's incredible.
Crazy.
Hang on one second to Clive Owen. I apologize for interrupting. Lisa, I can't see your hands at all. What? We're doing an interview. We're trying to talk to the man. Show some respect.
It's radio. I can do what I want. Just be quiet.
You're scaring me.
Just let him talk some more.
The film is called Shoot 'Em Up. It opens everywhere on Friday. Lisa, is that where you're headed right after the show in Las Vegas on Friday? Is that the deal? Is that the
plan? We're all going to go, I think.
I'm pretty sure I've never gone to a movie theater while in Vegas, but I'm going to be there this weekend, and I'm going to have to see this movie. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
Clive, you're doing great work, man. We really appreciate what you do on the screen, and also we love having you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Had a nightmare this weekend, by the way, that we talked to a guy from the American Mustache Institute on Friday's show.
And
he told us that we needed to read blogs about mustaches, and then we all decided we were going to grow a mustache.
That is exactly what happened, yeah. We're growing mustaches, yes. So we're trying to bring them back, man. They're being unfairly discriminated against. We're working it. Come on.
You mean that's real?
Yeah.
That is real. Hey, speaking of Foo Fighters, they're playing along with Smashing Pumpkins, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat, Against Me, and Paramore. You want to win those tickets? You can. We've got them for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's the K-Rock LA Invasion. Between 8 and 9, you'll get a chance to win those. Plus, we'll talk to a man who's got a Super Bowl ring with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Bill Cowher, talking about the NFL season kicking off this week. That's coming up right now. Time for the Afro Line.
323-520-AFRO is the number, 24 hours a day.
This is Asian Fred, the King of Canada. The message going out to the network. John has a long chair. The mustache is against the wall. The mustache is against the wall.
It was something like that in Red Dawn.
Made as much sense.
Yeah. Yesterday was Labor Day.
Hey, Kevin and Dean. It's Labor Day. And I thought, you know what? It doesn't get any better than this. I'm off for the day. And I'm kicking back. Kevin and Dean aren't on the air. It really doesn't get any better than that.
That is good news when you tune into 106.7 FM and we're not on. I know that makes a lot of people very happy.
I'm tired of you guys making fun of me. Kevin, I mean, this is Chris Angel. Don't be a sucker. I'm going to do some magic to end this phone call.
Maybe the worst impression ever.
It was a good impression if he was trying to do Shaquille O'Neal.
Unfortunately, he wasn't.
I just seen a midget city worker setting up stop sign at a broken down red light. It was awesome. He's a little Mexican midget. Mexican midgets are cool.
Okay. Thank you for the update. Jed the Fish at times says things that certain people can't understand.
Jed just said he's mixing chicken and penis. I'm offended. I want K-Rock off the air right now. Not just you, Kevin and Bean. I want K-Rock off the air. Everything. You guys, chicken and penis. What the hell is that? How the hell can you say you're mixing chicken and penis? I am so offended because you know what? Guys with penis, we never would mix it with chicken. He's saying I'm a chicken f***. Man, Mr. Weatherby, better get on the phone right to me right away. I want you guys all taken off the air. K-Rock off the air now.
The listeners have learned that it only takes one complaint for our company to buckle, so I guess they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that seems to be true.
All right, we're done. That's it.
Back to the mustache conversation.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Since you guys are going to sport the mustache from the 1970s, I think Lisa May should have to do something also. I think she should rock the 1970 beaver hair. You know, the one that just hung out the side, go halfway down your leg, close to your knee. That's what I want to see.
That scares me.
There's no hair on her vagina. Do you think she's okay?
Lisa, you
hair
may.
Removal has intervened, and it I
has,
have
right?
no choice.
No.
Sorry, boys.
How about that?
That's too bad. And finally, I think this is the first time we needed this.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, guys. When I pee, it, like, burns really bad, and it's kind of cloudy. I think I saw some blood. So Lisa and Alex. I think, Doc, you might want to go see a doctor. And kids, if you're listening, if you're going to get wet, always wear a raincoat.
Damn it.
That's good advice. Lisa, you and Alex and Doc can carpool.
Yes, I guess we will.
To the doctor.
Ralph, what is, I know there's the rivalry between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with the NFL franchise, but what about a guy like Bill Cowher who drafted by and played for the Philadelphia Eagles? Did you cut him some slack at all when he was cross-state?
Actually, there's not that much of a rivalry between Pittsburgh and Philly because we're in different conferences.
Right, so, I guess so.
Unless we got to the Super Bowl. Really, there wouldn't be all that much.
There's not a battle for state dominance in Pennsylvania.
No, not really. No,
yeah.
they're way on the west coast of the state. We're on the east coast, so we have more of a rivalry with New York actually than we do with Pittsburgh. So it's not that big of a deal. I've always kind of liked Pittsburgh in the AFC in terms of teams that I rooted for because I think he's a real great coach.
He is a good and by all accounts just a good dude too. Yeah. So we're looking forward to talking to him about the season that begins this week, if you can believe it. It's finally here. First though, 7:57, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Owen Wilson's out of the hospital.
We just talked to him about a half hour ago.
That was Clive Owen. Clive Owen.
Oh, I thought he sounded really good.
Different person altogether.
Why did you commit suicide? After a week. After a suicide attempt, Owen Wilson is back at home, although he is being watched around the clock, according to sources. Owen is in bad mental shape, but is said to be thankful he's alive, said a source who had visited the actor at his Santa Monica home on Saturday. He knows he came close to ending his life, and he's happy that he was saved from himself. He's basically at home with people watching him 24/7, so I guess he's not healthy enough to be on his own yet, but apparently happy that he wasn't successful in his botched attempt at suicide.
Good.
I think we all are. Because there's so many other people we'd rather see dead.
Absolutely.
The list is long.
Yeah. Unless he's going to make a Yumi and Dupree sequel, in which case we may revisit our sympathy.
One of my wife's favorite movies, by the way.
Is
Are
it
you
really?
Kidding?
Anytime
it's on TV, she's just, can't get enough of it.
No. He said Yumi and Dupree.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I don't understand any more than you do.
It's not a terrible movie.
Oh, Lisa. Stop it. My wife's so challenged when it comes to movies. It really is. I finally made her sit down and watch the Godfather trilogy. She had never seen any of those.
Wow.
I was like, before you watch any more Yumi and Dupree, you're going to sit down and we're gonna go through the Godfather movies. So, finish that.
What'd you think?
Loves them. Loves them.
Would have been funnier if Al Pacino had gone and stunk up a bathroom.
No, don't go in there.
Woo. Oh, you're going to need a match. Oh,
the bathroom's on the fritz.
I know I'm staying with you during your honeymoon, but wow, is it stinky in there? That's funny.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, let's look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This weekend, Halloween, in its debut, did really well for itself, $31 million.
That's amazing.
Good times for Rob Zombie et al. Superbad, number two at the box office, made $15.6 million. Balls of Fury, in its debut, made $13.8. That made it number three on the list. The Bourne Ultimatum was number four. Rush Hour 3 was number five. Then Bean's Holiday. Mr. Bean's Holiday. I'm sorry. That wouldn't make a good movie at all.
No,
Bean's Holiday. Who would watch that? It'd be like a 7-hour black and white documentary on the plague or something. It'd be a nightmare. Seventh on the list, The Nanny Diaries.
Hey.
K-Rock's Kevin Ryder says, see it, run to it, love it.
No, it actually, despite the viewing pleasure of Scarlett Johansson, blows. Bad movie.
Did Linus like it?
There is no Linus.
Yes, there is a Linus.
We've heard him.
We've talked
to
him.
Linus.
We talked to him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Death Sentence, number eight at the box office. War was number nine. And Stardust, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Bill Murray's finally explaining why he was driving around Stockholm, Sweden in a golf cart.
All right.
He was recently at the Venice Film Festival. And he told reporters on Monday exactly what happened. He said he was at a pro-am golf tournament in Stockholm. And he was with a bunch of people, and no one wanted to drive because they'd all been imbibing. So he said, I told him I'd give them all rides home. So he packed six or seven people on a golf cart and started dropping them off at their homes in Sweden. He said, I was like a bus. I had about six people in this thing, and I dropped them off one at a time. Police called him over when he dropped off the last couple at a 7-Eleven. And he said, I didn't even know they had 7-Elevens in Stockholm. Swedish police thought he may be drunk. He refused a breathalyzer test. They took a blood test. He could face drunk and driving charges, but still no results from those tests yet. So he was doing a good thing. He was doing a solid for people, and they punish him.
Well, if he was drunk, I'm not sure he was doing them a lot
the
of good.
Crap out of Sweden.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing. What do you mean bad?
I'm just shocking all that country right now. Teach them to pester Bill Murray. Getting married this weekend, Kate Walsh and her movie executive husband, Alex Young, got married over the weekend. Apparently, she, of course, from Grey's Anatomy, a lot of her castmates were there. Sarah Ramirez, Chandra Wilson and Katherine Heigl all showed up at the ceremony. ETV's Juliana DePandy married her boyfriend, season one of The Apprentice winner Bill Rancic. They were married in Italy on Saturday. He must be doing pretty well for himself. He can fly to Italy to get married. And some couples are breaking up. Heath Ledger and Michelle Williams, for example. The pair first met in 2004 on the set of Brokeback Mountain. They fell in love, had a daughter together, Matilda, who's now 2 years old. They were rumored to have been married earlier this year, though there were no formal reports ever published from their representatives. But word is that they're splitting up, which is kind of sad. Another couple that apparently has split up, Howard K. Stern and Larry Burkhead.
What's this about them being a couple?
MSNBC reporter Rita Cosby has written a book called Blonde Ambition, The Untold Story Behind Anna Nicole Smith's Death. And in it, she claims to have a number of revelations, including the fact that Howard K. Stern and Larry Burkhead were gay lovers. And they made a secret plan after Anna Nicole's death for Larry to get custody of Daniel Lynn and Howard to be the executor of Anna Nicole's estate. Also in the book, she alleges that Howard was Anna Nicole's supplier of drugs. This comes from Anna Nicole's ex-boyfriend Ben Thompson, who says that Howard kept a goodie bag of meds he carried with him everywhere he went with Anna, including Vicodin, Valium, morphine, and Demerol. Larry Burkhead has released a statement saying, "None of this is true. I'm going to sue Rita Cosby." To which she responded, "I'd like to see you try. I'm Rita Cosby."
It would be awesome if Larry Burkhead and Howard
Stern... audio of her, by the way.
Yeah.
You've
we do,
yeah,
yes.
I
want to
hear.
Stern and Burkhead need to move in together and just raise the child together as a gay couple. It'd be awesome.
That sounds like a sitcom.
It's a win-win.
I'm all over it.
By the way, Goody Bag of Meds is playing the L.A. Invasion.
Are they?
Yeah, they're good.
Forward to that.
Locals only side stage. Back to you.
CBS is a little worried about the controversy about their upcoming reality TV series, Kid Nation. Apparently, the New York Times is...
They better pull it right now.
...is saying that the network is starting to screen the episodes for ad executives so that they feel a little bit more comfortable about placing advertising during the show because they don't... it's got a lot of bad press. You know, a lot of parents are upset. Yeah. The kids are drinking bleach, and one kid got burned while she was cooking. If you don't know the premise, it's 40 children... ages 8 to 15, who are placed in the middle of an abandoned ghost town in New Mexico to see if they can build a working society without the help of adults or the presence of their parents.
What could go wrong with that?
Nothing.
You know, Kevin brings up a good point. If one person has complained about the show, they shouldn't be allowed to air it. That's how CBS runs their company.
That's right. So I'm going to start complaining, too.
All right, me too.
Absolutely.
Before I've even seen it.
It doesn't take an actual accurate complaint.
No.
All right.
CBS apparently thinks it has a hit on its hands, however, because they're already doing some casting for kids for the next season of Kid Nation.
Wow.
But here's the problem. They think they're going to shoot it outside of the United States because the child labor laws are too tough here in America. So they have to go to, like, Guam or someplace where they'll let you work kids 14 hours a day to put them on this TV show. That doesn't seem bad, inherently bad, if you have to leave the country to shoot a TV show because it endangers the welfare of young people in the show. Doesn't that seem just a bad idea?
Not ideal.
New Mexico, where they shot it this time, has changed their child labor laws. So now they're too tough. So they can't go back to New Mexico because those laws are too tough.
Wow.
They have to go someplace where they let kids make sweatsuits all day in some factory.
The end is near.
Yeah, it sure is.
That's not America. That's not even Mexico.
Maybe, well, actually, maybe it might be Mexico. Could be. Take him down to Cancun and put him to work at a resort or something. Today's celebrity birthday is Beyonce. She is 26 years old today. I like that enthusiastic bell. That was a solid bell.
It was a good one.
There. Yeah.
It wasn't with my hand either, by the way. I don't mind telling you.
Kim Thayil of Soundgarden, former guitarist for that band, is 47 years old today. And Dr. Drew Pinsky, how much do we love Drew?
He's the best.
I don't know if Drew knows how much we love him. I think sometimes he feels like we pick on him a little bit here in the show.
Well, we do some.
That we don't respect him.
We pick on everybody, though.
I know.
But he's the smartest guy I personally know.
Yes. And one of the most solid citizens, too. Just a kind man with an enormous amount of information in that noggin of his.
He's never said no to a TV show, though.
No, he has not.
Ever.
Never.
Although,
not
they
once.
Had him on
not
TMZ.com once. The other night out at a club with Andy Dick. What was that all about?
What?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
He's clubbing with Andy Dick?
Apparently so.
Clubbing with Andy Dick, by the way, is playing.
You know, I was going to rent that the other night, but then I remembered I'm a heterosexual.
Pinsky's fame's really gone to his head. Now he's out partying with Andy Dick. That's the last two guys I thought would be hanging out together.
LAX.
Yeah, really. It's all loaded. I can't wait to see photos of him on TMZ.com. See, maybe I wonder why Drew thinks we don't respect him. He's 49 years old today. We wish him the happiest of birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So imagine, Kevin, you're the face of the Pittsburgh Steelers for 15 seasons as their head coach, up to and including winning the Super Bowl in 2005. And then you finally retire and you find yourself doing interviews on the Kevin and Bean Show. I mean, what? Talk about a fall from grace. Talk about a sad slide. I mean, that hurts, right? It's got to hurt. Talking about the great Bill Cowher on the line with us on K-Rock right now. Good morning, Mr. Cowher. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, there's so much buzz in the halls this week that, you know, after a long, long summer, football's finally here. Thursday night, it finally all counts. It's got to be weird for you this year to not have a team in the fight.
Well, it will be. I mean, this is the first time I haven't gone through mini camps, haven't gone through an off season, and certainly training camp. But I don't miss it. But I can honestly say I'm looking forward to the kickoff of the regular season.
Is it way more work than most people would realize to be a head coach?
Oh, it's a lot of work. It's yeah, I mean, I don't know what people realize, but there's a lot that goes into it. I know this past weekend for a lot of teams, just getting down to the 53-man roster is it's not easy, particularly when you take into account some of the injuries that take place during the preseason and, you know, just trying to put together a football team that you know, has everything you're looking for. And you still don't really know until the season unfolds if you have the right chemistry.
Now, I don't know what the arrangement was when you left Pittsburgh, Bill, but are you on speed dial? I mean, can Coach Tomlin call you with for suggestions or anything like that, or do you stay completely out of it?
No, I mean, I left Pittsburgh in very good graces. You know, I've got tremendous respect for the Rooneys, and I've actually met Coach Tomlin one time this offseason when I went back to say hi to Art and Mr. Rooney. So, I haven't got any phone calls. I think he's in fine. I think he knows what he wants to do, and I'm looking forward to seeing that football team, you know, kind of bounce back from last year.
What's it like to be – you were born and raised in Pennsylvania, right?
I was born and raised right there in Pittsburgh, about 20 minutes from the stadium, yeah.
And then to become the head coach and, you know, with especially the Steelers, you know, that's one of those teams that just has the hardcore fans that have grown up loving that team. It's not like, you know, Dallas Cowboys, people like that. They kind of get new fans as they go. Pittsburgh Steelers, man, you're raised there and you're a fan for life.
No, I said when I went there in 1992 at the age of 34, and the first thing I said, if I don't screw this up in 3 years, I'll be able to go back to my 20th high school reunion as the head coach of my hometown team. So I lasted my 20th, my 25th, and my 30th, so I did okay.
I hope you went, though. I hope you went back and said, head coach, Steelers.
Yeah, I did the 20th. I didn't go back after that because there was too many requests for tickets.
How do you put blinders on and not listen to what the people who are armchair quarterbacking and criticizing your every move, whether it's the press or just the fans, how do you block all that out and just bear down and do your job, Bill?
Well, you know what? You really don't have time to listen to all that. And if you are listening to it, then you're misdirecting kind of your energies. I mean, I think there's the one thing people don't realize. I mean, you're kind of in your own shell during the season. I mean, it's 7 days a week. You're in there for 12 to 14 hours a day, and you're really not dealing with the public like your families are. So, I mean, even when it's going, you know, it's going well, I mean, you don't get caught up in it. And if it's going bad, you're kind of sheltered from it. So, really, a lot of times it's the families that have to deal with the blunt of the criticisms that can come at times. And, you know, so I think it's easier to get away from it because you're surrounding yourself with the coaches, with the players, and you're kind of in your own little world.
Your wife never comes and says, hey, Bill, listen, I know I was at lunch today and some of the ladies thought that you should.
No, she never shied away from giving me her opinion on some of the calls that were made, particularly when I told them that it was me that was making the calls. So between my wife and my three girls, they all had their opinions. So trust me, I didn't get away from it totally.
You're still such a young man. Why did you walk away, especially since you've still got, you know, there's still a great team back there in Pittsburgh that everyone's predicting to do well. How could you walk away from a job like that?
Well, to be honest with you, like you talked about, you know, the city that we were in, it was everything. And it's a tough lifestyle. I mean, you're in a fishbowl. You really don't have much of a life from that standpoint. It was hard to go out, and that's demanding after a while. And, you know, at the same time, I was in it for 15 years. We were able to win a championship, fortunate enough to have good people around myself. And it just was, I thought it was time to step back to be able to smell the roses a little bit. You know, I love coaching. I love competing. You know, I just think the lifestyle in itself was one that I'd like the chance to step back and, you know, like be like everybody else to some degree and not have to live it, you know, 365 days a year. And that's what happens when you become the coach in a town like that is, you know, you never can escape it. But, you know, that's always not a bad thing either. I mean, trust me, I don't regret the 15 years. We had a lot of good times. I grew up there. My family still lives there. It's a great city, passionate fans. But it just was time for me to be able to step back a little bit.
Now, you're on the NFL Today on CBS, right?
Correct.
And you're also calling to talk about the DirecTV Sunday Ticket, which is maybe the best thing ever.
It's awesome. I mean, I was able to do a commercial a couple of years ago, but you know, when I had a bye week, or even when I come home from 1 o'clock games, I go right to the Sunday Ticket because I can watch the rest of the games. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. The minute I went to a commercial, I went to another game.
Of course.
I mean, you kind of you talk about the ultimate surfing on the TV, and this is what you can do with this. And you know, and then a neat thing this year is I just saw that they're promoting. You can now put this on your laptop. You can actually dial into your cell phones and get updates on your team. So, you know, like you said, the Steelers have fans all around the country,
right.
And I think DirecTV gives you a way to see every game they play all year long.
Yeah, those of you that haven't seen it, it's basically every single NFL game played, and it's just awesome on Sunday to just flip around. Now you can do it on your laptop. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, on the laptop. How about that? So, you know, even if you're traveling on a Sunday and you know you're in an airport and they only have the game that you want on, hey, just pull out your laptop and you can dial in and watch your favorite team. So I'm telling you, you can if you want it, you can have it right at your, like I said, even with your cell phone.
Funny you would say that because we're going to be in Vegas this weekend, and this weekend is the opening NFL season. So it's, you know, it's great to be able to see that on your laptop.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Oh, no, it's awesome. And, you know, the other thing they got now this year, too, you can put them all on one screen. You can get up to 8 games on a screen at one time. And that's what I'll actually be doing in the studio. So, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be able to flip it, but you can actually watch 8 different games at one time. So, I mean, if you're really a serious football junkie, there's no other way to go than the NFL Sunday Ticket.
I smell more divorces over football than ever before, thanks to DirecTV. Hey, let me give out the phone number. It's 800-DIRECTV, or go to DirecTV.com. That's the NFL Sunday Ticket, and this new service for the laptop is called the Superfan. One more question for Coach Bill Cowher, and that is, when your phone starts ringing in about week 4 and week 5, when they start having some teams with some slow starts, and they beg you to come back and coach again, is there any possibility in a million years you'd even consider it?
Well, I wouldn't put a million years as a timetable on that, but I can tell you that I have no plans in the near future, no plans in 2008, and at this point to even come back. I'm really looking forward to working with CBS, and again, you know, still being a part of the NFL, but not being the all-consuming part, you know, because you come back and you got to throw yourself into it. It's 365, you know, and there's a lot of work, and it's a lot of big commitment that you have to make, and I didn't step away for it just to get a 1-year hiatus. I stepped away with the intention of being away and like I said, being able to enjoy it now from the other end, the media end that you guys are doing, and hopefully I'll be able to enjoy that and do that for a very, very long time.
If I were you, I would be calling the coaches, I don't know, every other day going, hey, how's training camp going? Pretty all-consuming, isn't it? Woo! This is
sure
going
to suck
for
me.
You.
It was nice spending Labor Day down at the beach with my family. Trust me, I enjoyed that. That was a first.
All right. Look for Bill on the NFL Today as an analyst on CBS. And again, it's 800 DirecTV if you want to find out about the Sunday Ticket. Coach, you really are one of the good guys in football, man. We've really enjoyed talking to you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye now.
Killer heat wave bakes Southern California. Listen to this. A heat wave swept Southern California for a 7th day on Monday, claiming the lives of an elderly couple, setting record temperatures and leaving thousands of customers without power. What happened, Lisa? You were talking about that earlier. What happened with the old folks?
They were in their 80s. The man was in a wheelchair. They lived in Studio City. Apparently, they had an air conditioner, but I heard Doc earlier say that it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get it to work, and they died. And when they found them, it was 105 outside, 110 in their apartment.
Oh, dear God.
Ouch.
They must have lived in Woodland
Hills.
Can you
imagine being without power?
No.
They were in Studio City. That's how freaking hot it is.
Yeah.
Studio City is now like Woodland Hills. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let me add that and say it was not frosty in Southern California over the weekend. If I could be so bold as to put
that much of a point on it.
It was actually not at all chilly. Very few Arctic references being made this weekend.
By the way, congratulations to Michael Lopez from La Puente for winning the K-Rock LA Invasion tickets. We're going to give away some more coming up next with a little game called The Wheel of Celebrities.
Oh,
if you want to call 1-800-520-1067. Here's a few of the highlights of some of the TV coverage from over the weekend.
Well, it wasn't a twister, Sylvia, but certainly some twisted weather.
A freak flash flood made flashlights the most sought-after item Friday night.
Whose idea was this? The asphalt itself is about 300 degrees. Tack on 100 and a dime in atmospheric temperature, and you have perhaps the most uncomfortable task of the day.
So what do you do? How much water do you drink?
Two gallons.
2 gallons an hour.
An hour and 20 minutes.
What's the worst part of the day?
Right now.
I do plumbing, and I'm going to be going and digging a sewer line up, which is your main, you know.
In 110-degree heat?
Yeah, just water. Keep stuff cooled off. Take breaks.
Right now, we are having clear weather, but as I take a look at the clouds, you know, I would have to say it's very unstable. We're hearing thunder, and it could start raining again. Right now, the pavement has dried off, but that could change within a matter of minutes. They change rapidly here in the mountains.
No sign of rain in the skies, but plenty of these on the ground.
Well, it's so hot, I thought I might take an umbrella. It might make me feel a little cooler. Doesn't help.
With temperatures in the triple digits, that isn't a surprise. Some restaurant names not conducive with al fresco dining. Outdoor eating areas this afternoon abandoned. But not everyone is suffering in the heat. John Christopher's house is made out of stone. An excellent insulator, he says, to the blistering temperatures outside.
So it stays pretty cool inside even when it's hot out there. About 20 degrees difference.
A new house, though, isn't a requirement for coolness.
Right.
Just ask little Kevin Gowder here.
I'm just drinking mango juice, and that's how I keep myself cool when I go in the heat.
I told you.
All I have God. To do is drink the mango juice?
Honestly, I don't need to know how a four-year-old stays cool.
Why do they do that?
Why do they do that?
Well, the only thing worse than being the couple in Studio City that died is being poor Doug Kriegel for Channel 4. It doesn't matter how hot it is or how many days in a row, they make him go out and cover the heat with all the various angles. And I believe we have Doug, a hookup with Doug, don't we?
Yes,
good morning, Mr. Kriegel. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Pete. How are you?
We're good. How are you today, Doug?
Out here in the street, and it's just too hot.
Oh, wow. Whoa, Doug. We're on the air right now, dude.
I am so tired of standing out here talking about the goddamn heat.
Now, Doug, I saw you on the news Friday afternoon and then Saturday, and then they sent you out there again Sunday and then Monday for Labor Day. You're telling me you're still covering the heat from all over the Southland on Channel 4?
Boy, isn't it hot out here. Look at all the heat.
This is bullshit. Doug, we have to watch our language.
I don't give a anymore.
Wow.
I used to have a career. I used to be a real reporter.
Well, that's when you could breathe, Doug.
Is part of the problem that they said you're out every day and you've got to make news out of something that frankly isn't news? We all know it's hot out and there's only so many ways you can talk about it.
Hey, what's in that water bottle? Are you staying hydrated? You.
Doug, maybe you've done a few too many stories about the heat.
Son, I hate it. If I had my way, I would just destroy the sun.
Well, I don't think you have that option.
Have you done any of those hard-hitting interviews this morning that I like so much where you ask little kids what they're doing to stay cool?
Yes. I found some kids playing in a fire hydrant.
Uh-huh.
And I said, turn that fire hydrant off. Don't you know we're out of water? Kids. That won't be on the air today.
So you've spent a little too much time in the heat. That's what you're saying.
I think I have a stroke.
Yeah.
Is it warm out there at all this morning, Doug?
No, it's nice. Yes, it's hot. My balls are hanging so low right now. My old scrotum stretched to its capacity.
I don't need to hear about any more of
that. Look at my low-hanging balls. Now that would be some news.
Yes, it would.
Hey, Paul Doug. Moyer, look at my low-hanging They're sticking to my thigh.
All right, Doug, we gotta run.
Look at me.
Okay.
I'm hot. It's hot out here.
All right, we get that.
Hey, Chuck Henry, look how my droopy are hot.
this.
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think that needs a
fit there. That is Paramore on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. That's the band that's going to be playing along with Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, and more for the K-Rock LA Invasion. You know, we gave away a pair of tickets a few minutes ago, earlier this hour. We've got another pair right now.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, for the K-Rock Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
We could use some work on that theme, sure.
No, that's a classic.
What we're going to do is we're going to have a celebrity read lyrics from one of the bands that's playing the K-Rock LA Invasion. You just have to tell us what band and what song title.
We've got a room full of celebrities over there just waiting for their shot.
They've been waiting all day, as a matter of fact.
Well, they don't know if they're going to come up or not because you have to spin the wheel. They may not even get their shot. I feel bad for, like, Shatner. Shatner's sitting there. He's old. He can't
William Shatner.
Wait around forever.
I have Chris Angel. I have Bjork. Mayor Villaraigosa. Homer Simpson. Christopher Walken, Governor Schwarzenegger, Sean Connery, Optimus Prime, Montgomery Burns, Rodney.
Optimus Prime?
Yes.
Wow.
So
how we fit him in the studio.
All right. So you spin the wheel. It lands on a celebrity. We go to the caller, and all they have to do is identify by title and artist what song the celebrity is talking about. It's one of the bands that's going to be playing the K-Rock LA Invasion. And we'll start with line number one. We've got Ruben on from LA. Good morning, Ruben.
What's going on?
Say hi to Chris Angel.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
I'm a fan of yours since my father passed away.
All right, Chris is going to read some lyrics for you. It's from one of the bands playing the K-Rock LA Invasion. You tell us which band, which song title, please.
All right, cool.
Has someone taken your faith? It's real, the pain you feel. The life, the love, you die to heal. The hope that starts the broken hearts. You trust, you must confess.
that last part was an ad lib, but Ruben, what song is he doing by title and artist?
That's Best of You by Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Ruben, you hang on. We'll do a drawing at the end to find out who wins the tickets. It is amazing Chris Angel has a TV show with so little personality, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Don't be a sucker.
Jennifer is on the line from LA. Jennifer, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Let's see who your celebrity is.
To Governor Schwarzenegger.
Are you ready for me to read for you now?
What?
Are you ready for me to read for you now?
What?
Yes,
we're ready.
Are you ready for me to read for you now?
Yes. Okay. Jennifer, tell us what song this is.
All right.
My own son don't know me. I'm chilling in a hotel room, lonely, but I thank God I'm with my homies. But sometimes I wish I was back home.
That, ring a bell?
No.
One of the bands playing the K-Rock LA Invasion.
Highland and Artist.
Kevin.
What was that noise you just made? What?
I don't know. Kid Rock.
Kid Rock? No, I'm sorry. It was Cypress Hill Rock Superstar.
Some don't know me. I'm chilling in the hotel room lonely. But I thank God I'm with my homies. But sometimes I wish...
That's that one.
Governor, I did not know you were down with the rap. That was very well done. Congratulations.
I love Be Real and C Real and D Real. All the whole alphabet of reels.
Let's move on to Carol in L.A. Good morning, Carol. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
We're spinning the wheel. Good luck. Here we go.
Say hello to Montgomery Burns.
Excellent. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
In my eyes, indisposed. In disguises no one knows, hides the face, lies the snake, the sun, in my disgrace.
Very well, Monty. Very
Carol?
Well done.
Excellent.
Which song was
Black Hole Sun, Soundgarden.
Yes!
Nicely done.
Soundgarden, eh?
Yes.
Excellent.
You weren't aware of that?
So far, Carol and Ruben are in the drawing. Let's move along. Now we go to Gabriel from Montebello. Hey, Gabriel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your celebrity?
Yes.
All right. Say good morning to...
It's a long wheel.
Yes.
Rodney on the Rock.
Yeah!
Ah.
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7.
No, just do a contest.
No, just read the lyrics.
01067. Call
now. You just read the on the piece of paper that
Tell
Alex handed you.
Just the new Brian Wilson song.
Nope. Just lyrics, and then Gabriel will try to tell you what song they are.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a...
You're what, Rodney?
Still just a rat in a cage.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. Then someone will say, what is lost can never be saved. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Gabriel?
Smashing Pumpkins?
Yes.
Yes.
Song title?
Bananarama?
On my way?
No.
What did you say?
No, I'm sorry. No. It was
cruel,
Bullet
cruel
with Butterfly Wings is the title we were looking for.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It is a dumb title in Gabriel's defense. Do we have time for one more?
Yes, we do.
All right. Aaron Sherman Oaks, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. What did you... Hi. Oh, sorry, wrong segment.
That's all right. Okay. No worries. Giving away tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion, and the Wheel O' Celebrities has landed on Optimus Prime.
All right.
Hello?
It's not working, right? It's not working.
I think there's a button on the helmet or something there, Ralph.
No? Batteries dead. This is not working.
No battery. Ralph had the helmet on and everything.
Freaking lightning.
No, I tested it. It's working.
Check one, two.
Well, it's not working now.
Check one, two, check, check, one, two, check.
Well, that's not Optimus Prime. That's just... That's just Ralph in a mask.
Check one, two, there we go.
There it is.
Okay.
Well, now the magic's gone.
No, this is working well. Aaron, you ready?
Why, for a minute, Lisa, you thought it was real? You thought it really was Optimus Prime?
I thought we were talking to Optimus Prime himself.
Upset.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, I'm packing up my game, and I'm headed out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills. Chill like Flint. Buy an old drop top. Find a spot to pimp.
Ooh. All right.
Okay, I know it's Kid Rock.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yes, it's the first single that I heard from him. I can't think of the name.
Which is named...
With the ba, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm
so
packing up my game and I'm
Cowboy.
Incorrect.
Nope, she's not transformed. She just doesn't win the ticket.
Okay, thank you. It was Cowboy we were looking for. All right, Lisa's going to do the drawing. I guess it's either going to be what, Ruben or Carol. One of them's going to win the tickets for the LA K-Rock LA Invasion.
It is Carol in LA.
It is Carol in LA. Let's say good morning to Carol again. Hey, Carol, congratulations.
Hey. Hi, thank you.
I will give you a ride in my pickup truck.
Ralph, that doesn't sound anything like Optimus Prime.
I sound exactly like Optimus Prime.
Okay.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Perhaps I'm biased. I always thought I was Jewish, but if I'm biased... But this next band is one of my favorites.
All right.
With numerous chart-topping hits, including the number one hit, This Diamond Ring, they have appeared on American Bandstand, Ed Sullivan, as well as, of course, our telethon for more years than I can remember.
Okay.
The front man is quite talented, and please welcome my number one son, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, I hear.
Okay, so...
Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Wow. Really?
That's the only gig they get all year long, right? Ralph is playing on Dad's telethon, right?
No, I'm sure there's an Indian casino or two that they managed to book themselves into.
This is what's amazing. The Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon, which, as Ralph reported last hour, made record-setting money for Muscular Dystrophy. I'm not taking anything away from the good intentions of the telethon. Gets the worst talent. It's on for 20 hours every Labor Day break. Gets the worst talent. This is his son who had a hit back in, like, 1965, and they're trotting him out in hour two of the telethon, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, dear God.
I may be biased.
Always thought I was Jewish.
Hi! Ho-ho!
That was actually on the kind of TV that comes into people's homes this weekend. It's 8:57. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Mine either. That totally goes under my radar.
Me too.
I know everything that's on television. I forget every year that show's even on.
Well, rightfully so. Although but he's getting bad enough, it's almost worth tuning back in for.
Yeah, it's coming around again, to be funny.
I remember my loneliest, saddest day ever in the history of my life in Los Angeles.
Yeah?
I had just moved out here, and I had zero friends, and I had no place to go on Labor Day.
Right.
And I ended up sitting at the bar at Barney's Beanery watching the telethon on the television getting loaded by myself.
It's just the saddest
and
little song.
I should just kill myself right now because I have hit bottom. I have no friends. I'm sitting here drunk watching the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon.
The only way to watch it.
At Barney's Beanery.
That is
no one
sad.
Else was in the place. Just me and the bartender watching the telethon.
It's tragic.
Maybe that's why I can't watch it. Too many bad memories
could
for
be.
Me there. Yeah.
They may have to put Jerry down, though, I'm
no!
sorry to say. For all the good work he's done, it may be time.
How great. Come on. you lose tape like that.
It's too much magic.
He dropped the F-bomb this year.
He did, yeah.
Not the the one that means to copulate. But
no.
The one that you call a homosexual as a derogative slur.
What?
The Isaiah Washington slur.
The Isaiah Washington F-bomb.
But
yeah.
At least he said illiterate before that word.
Yes. He was doing a chunk on somebody's family and talking about one of their sons being an illiterate F-word.
Wow.
And the audience was like, ooh. We just heard an audible groan went through his people. Kids in wheelchairs were turning their backs on him, rolling out of the studio. That's how just disturbed everyone was.
They were trying to walk away from him. They were so offended.
Yeah. Great great stuff. If you missed that clip, it's on TMZ. You can hear him dropping
it. I'd love to get a copy of that.
I bet you would, Rod.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this week. Well, you know him as well as I do. You call him Rod.
Sure.
Yeah. Hot Rod. That's what we call him, Rod. That's what we call him up on
Sunset.
That's
his friends know him as.
Yeah. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Halloween doing very well for itself. The new Rob Zombie reimagining of the classic Halloween movie made $31 million this weekend. Followed behind that by Superbad, made $15.6 million, made it number two. Then Balls of Fury in its debut made $13.8 million, good enough to make it number three at the box office. The Bourne Ultimatum was number four. The Rush Hour 3 was number five. The Mr. Bean's Holiday was number six. The Nanny Diaries 7. The Death Sentence 8. The War 9. And The Stardust number 10 at the box office. This may be a new relationship to you. I hadn't heard about it before, but apparently Hayden Christensen, who played Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars movies, who's horrible,
yes,
is now dating the OC's Rachel Bilson.
Oh!
Oh! Hmm.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're quite the couple these days. They were spotted getting on a romantic aircraft trip to Turks and Caicos.
What the hell are those words? What did those words mean?
Turks and Caicos?
It's a beautiful island.
It's an island resort that's very hot right now. And they were seen flying from Miami to Turks and Caicos for a romantic getaway weekend this weekend.
Turks and Caicos, by the way, is opening.
Never mind. Stop it!
I always thought it sounded like a really cool cop show.
They play by their own rules. They're outlaws with badges. They're Turks and Caicos.
Yo, Turks, what are we doing?
I don't know, Caicos, but we're taking him down.
Turks and Caicos, get in here. Give me your badges. You've stepped over the line. Come on, Captain. Leave Turks out of this.
All right, Caicos. I want your gun and your badge.
Have you worked out the whole episode?
Those shows always had the same dialogue over and over again. Turks and Caicos coming this fall to CBS. Denise Richards is threatening to write a tell-all book about her ex, Charlie Sheen. Oh, that won't be good for Charlie.
Nope.
What a bitch.
Star Magazine claims that Denise is so ticked off at Charlie for spreading lies about him during this custody battle that she is threatening to expose him and everything that happened during their four-year marriage if he doesn't shut up.
Whore!
She's especially ticked off about the fact that he claimed publicly that she asked him to donate sperm to her so that she could have another baby by him.
Right.
Yeah, she says that's a lie, and if he keeps it up, there's going to be a book.
I'd like to see that book, actually.
I would, too.
I would, too. Yeah.
Bet he knows how to do a little dance, get down tonight. You know what I'm
saying? Sure he does.
Ellen DeGeneres is jealous
of...
Seems like her girlfriend, Portia de Rossi, has a new role in Nip Tuck that's coming on this season.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
She has a lesbian love affair with Jolie Richardson on that show. And apparently the scenes are so hot, even the crew was shocked.
Fantastic.
According to Star Magazine. And Ellen DeGeneres is afraid that Portia will leave her for someone younger and hotter. Which, by all rights, she should, by the way.
Yeah. If I'm Ellen, I'm worried about getting left for a woman.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I meant. Younger and hotter woman.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just saying, because Ellen clearly is...
She's a dude.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Being
saying
of course she goes
dude.
That way. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
All right.
I speak Bean.
Jeez.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the translation.
That was rough.
Once you get there, it's not bad. But getting there is
classic.
It is a tough ride to reach the destination. That's true.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
And, you know, Bill Clinton is going to be on Oprah today.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Fred Thompson is going to be on Jay Leno this week, and reportedly will finally announce his candidacy for president. Now, what does this mean to TNT and USA and NBC?
What are you talking about?
See, he was on Law & Order. He was a lead in that TV series for several seasons. So all the reruns featuring Fred Thompson, if he declares his candidacy for president, cannot be played on any of those outlets,
really?
TNT, USA, or NBC.
Why?
Because it's the fairness doctrine. They would have to give equal time to all the other presidential candidates on their media outlets because they have him on the TV.
That's a bogus role, by the way. If he's on in a drama as an actor, he's not on urging people to vote for him or talking about policy or anything like that. It shouldn't even count toward the fairness doctrine.
They're saying his presence on television would give him an unfair advantage and that they would have to have equal time on television. It happened with Schwarzenegger, too, when he was running for
governor. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Here in the state, you couldn't have the Terminator on any TV shows locally.
This is for 13 months from now? Is that when this
is
for?
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
13 months from now.
Yeah, what's TNT going to do? Because that's all they show.
Is it?
It's like, I'm not kidding you, it's like 12 hours of Law & Order a day over there
They're
on
TNT. They're just going to have to edit him out, so they'll be like 20-minute versions.
I guess so. Or they'll superimpose somebody else's head over him. It's like a big cartoon, like Peter Griffin's head, like a big cartoon head over his during those scenes. That'd be funny.
Well, there were a few seasons before the senator joined the cast, right? Maybe they can go back to the early years.
That's what
something.
They're going to have to do. But the most recent episodes all had Fred Thompson in them, so those are going to be dropping off.
Excellent.
So they're confused.
What do you guys think of him as a candidate? Will he make a difference? Will he shake things up?
Don't know a thing about him.
And we got like 30 candidates running between the two parties right now. I can't believe there's another one. But
he's enormously likable. Uh-huh. Because he's an actor, so he knows how to put that out there. But he's sort of all hat, no cattle, this guy.
Is he?
The longest stint he had in he was a senator
for
Tennessee, I believe it was. But the longest stint in Washington was as a lobbyist. He worked as a lobbyist on K Street.
Ah.
So there's a lot of special interest history there with Senator Thompson.
Are we still talking about the election that's 13 months away?
I believe we are.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think Kevin should run still. We still have a chance to
I'd be a great
right
president,
in.
By the way.
Excuse me?
So I would be
said.
A great
Based
president.
On what? Comedy?
His linguistic miscues, which obviously have worked
He
for
would
our
make Bush look like a freaking genius. There's nobody George W. Bush would rather have run for president than Kevin, I'll tell you that
He'd
much.
Look like a language expert.
Look pretty good now, don't I?
I will tell you that I would, if it were on pay-per-view, I would buy any debate that Kevin was in. Any
great.
Debate that he participated I would totally want to see.
Senator Clinton, you're just wrong. That's just stupid.
How dare
what you're
you.
Saying is stupid.
You can't believe that.
You're wrong. You're an idiot.
I would kick ass.
His debate skills. We have to break out that commercial for the Kevin Ryder School debate again. That was pretty spectacular.
Very effective, though.
It is. Today's celebrity birthday is Beyonce.
I'm saying.
Beyonce Knowles celebrates her 26th birthday. She's 26. Doesn't seem like she's been famous forever.
For about 26 years, yeah.
And she's just 26.
She's smoking.
It's pretty spectacular. I've received numerous emails saying I neglected to mention, in honor of our pal Jimmy Kimmel, that Italian superstar catcher Mike Piazza's birthday is today.
Ah, sure.
Well, 39 years old today.
Are we contractually bound to that? We have to say that?
For life?
Jimmy always had a natural affection for Mike Piazza. So
quite a
some
crush.
People are hearkening back to the golden days the Kevin and Bean Show wanted me to mention that for Jimmy.
Excellent.
Still playing, if you can believe it, Mike Piazza.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he now?
39.
He's out there getting it done for the Oakland A's right now.
I've never played catcher, and my knees haven't held up that long. How is he still doing it?
He's just designated hitter now.
Oh, he's not catching anymore?
Not catching anymore, no.
Oh, well, that makes things a lot easier then. Because when you're crouching like that, that's painful.
Yeah. Yeah, Lisa knows.
Ask Lisa.
Sure.
Ask Lisa. Sure, she knows. And Dr. Drew Pinsky, our pal, celebrates his 49th birthday today. So much love to Dr. Drew. I hope he celebrates his birthday. As he celebrates every holiday, he runs for 26 miles and then drinks some camel grass juice or whatever the hell he does. Make himself all healthy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So last week we have on the guy who's the spokesperson for the American Mustache Institute, and he's talking about how people with mustaches are discriminated against, and it's time for America to stand up and take a stand and get mustaches back in the mix. So we all say, that's a great idea. We're going to grow mustaches. Now, who doesn't see how funny that is? Kevin and Bean with mustaches, right?
I think that's
everyone's got to love that.
Sure.
Well, there's certainly no one that could like it for real, but it's for comedy's sake.
It's for comedy's sake.
Yeah.
Well, I have been really taking a beating at home since I stopped shaving. And I don't know what it's been like at your house, Kevin, but I don't even know if it's worth going on. To say it
you mean with life?
I'm saying with life. That's not bad. I mean, my dear bride, Donna, who I believe joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Donna.
Gunther, how are you?
Oh, come on. See, this is what it's like all the time.
Donna, he wishes he could grow a Gunther mustache.
This is the funniest
contest in the world because Bean, I don't know if people know this, does not have a speck of hair anywhere on his body. He is the most delicate little flower of a man anybody has ever met. So this is not only hilarious, but it's going to be really a challenge to see if he's got enough testosterone to actually pull off a full mustache.
Right.
How
but
dare you.
I hate mustaches. Loathe.
Don't let that dude from the American Mustache Institute hear you.
Dude, I'm sorry, but nobody has mustaches. Only bad people have mustaches.
Well, that's the point. That's the whole reason why we're trying to help this dude.
Right.
But
it's pretty much just Charles Manson mm-hmm. and porn stars from the 70s. And
I know.
Unfortunate women. And there's just no reason for a person in, you know, the year 2000-something to have a mustache. It's gross.
It's 2007, first of all. And, but see, Bean, in every other way, acts like an 11-year-old girl. You know, he likes High School Musical and Barry Manilow, and this is the most manly thing he's tried to do.
This isn't manly.
It's an attempt at manliness.
First of all, the mustache is bossy. The mustache, like, complains a lot. All the mustache wants to do is sit around and watch TV and be fed. The mustache is like, I mean, really, I need to get a restraining order already against the mustache.
Treats the mustache as if it's a roommate. I mean, she refers to the mustache as if it's a different person from me. It's like 5 days' growth is all it is so far.
Seriously, I mean, first of all, it's a mustache. Bean is growing a mustache.
What's a mustache?
It's not a mustache.
What is that?
Because it's like so smarmy and yucky and gross, and so we call it the mustache.
No, we don't.
So today I'm going out to get Bean a beret and a little striped shirt, and then the mustache can just run around the house going, ho, ho, ho. I mean,
she thinks I look like a gay French gondolier. She thinks I look like with a mustache.
But Donna, the point is comedy. I mean, that's why.
But it's not funny. Have you ever kissed a mustache?
No.
Ew. We don't plan to.
We don't plan on it either.
You don't kiss me.
Neither does Donna, by the way. She doesn't plan on it either. We were sitting around having this conversation with a few friends over the Labor Day weekend, and I brought up, or Donna brought up, the tension in our household as a result of this mustache. And all of the women at the table said, absolutely, Donna is right. There's no way you should grow a mustache. All of the guys were listening to the conversation and said, dude, that's awesome. I would totally get in on that. And you can't be the first guy in the group. Hey, bros before hoes, right? You can't be the first guy in the group to go, guys, I can't play. My wife says I can't have one. You know what I mean? You've got to stand up for something. And I'm standing up for growing a mustache.
I guess, but I don't think, I'm not sure bros before hoes works with growing a mustache.
I think it's
your wife.
More important things, really.
But what I'm saying is, if we're all in or none of us are in. This isn't going to work if one day I drop out and 4 days later Ralph drops out and 8 days later Mike drops out. We're either going to grow the mustache and take it to the end, or none of us are going to grow the mustache.
Well,
but
it's not going to matter because Kevin's going to wuss out because he's so vain. So, I mean, like, I bet by like Thursday.
Hey,
Kevin's
bitchy,
not
bitch, bitch.
Anymore.
Kevin does look awful this morning. You'll be happy to know it is definitely coming in on his face
homeless.
Too.
I mean, but
Donna,
it's like Hitler.
But Donna,
and then all the people in the Middle East
and the village people. But Donna,
and the village people.
You forget that we're going to be in Vegas drinking, so I'm not really going to. I can't really be vain under those circumstances.
It's, you know what? Here's my thing: is fine, grow a mustache or a moustache, but chicks are not going to dig you. You're going to be
Donna.
Like,
chicks don't dig us now, so what?
But people are really going to start laughing at you to your face now.
That happens
instead
now.
Of behind our backs.
All I'm saying is that I worry for Bean and his delicate little constitution when people actually start walking up to him going, dude, you look so gay.
Look.
Oh, wait, am I allowed to say gay on the air?
No, you're not.
I'm just going to smack my pee-pee.
Yes.
Okay. I can't say that either.
All right, listen, before we go, there's something else that's going on that I need to share with the listeners.
What?
You know, we're going on vacation in a couple weeks. On the 14th,
I'm going
Donna
on vacation
and I.
With Psycho Mike.
Yes. Well, that's my point. That's what I was going to say. Is that the plan is that Donna and I are going to Italy. And Donna is really drawing a line in the sand about she's willing to go to Italy with me, but she's not willing to go with the mustache. So it's almost like it's getting to the point where if you're not going to shave off the mustache, then I am just going to go with Psycho Mike because I'd have a better time with him anyway.
Well, first of all, the mustache doesn't have a passport.
Oh, that's right. And you can't just get one quickly, right?
You can't really go.
But the mustache could stow away on a plane. I mean, you never know.
Okay, all I'm saying is if Bane doesn't shave, I'm not going to shave.
Oh.
And that's going to get really uncomfortable.
All
really
right,
quickly.
Then. Fantastic. Wow. It's fine with me. Donna, here's my thing about your vacation, though, you're guaranteed to run into fewer people than you do now. Like, you're going to know no one in Italy.
True.
Yeah, but the Italians are really nasty about ugly people.
They really are. I mean, we're spending most of our time in northern Italy where people look like the sculptures.
Okay,
and
well,
nobody has a mustache.
But being screwed anyway then, Donna.
We're
I mean,
treated so badly.
See, you don't know what it's like because you're a cute girl. You don't know what it's like to be a dude who's given up on actual chicks finding him hot. Those people like us, we find comedy in growing mustaches and looking
exactly.
stupid. And that's just, and then we could go, oh, I'm doing it on purpose. It makes us feel a little better.
Right.
I get why you all down in L.A. are doing it.
Right.
Because you all can go places together and hang out together and look like a group of dudes growing a mustache for comedy. Bean is one guy up here on, you know.
On an island.
On this island, and nobody's going to get the mustache.
It's funnier to me.
It's bros before hoes, I guess.
Mean, that's what I'm saying.
Seriously, if it were cool, Amish people would grow one, but they don't. They just grow the neck beard.
Donna, so, we're not doing it because it's cool. We're doing it because it's not cool.
I know, but it's not funny when it's just one guy.
It's funny to the rest of us. Not to you.
Well, I think you guys can see the trouble I'm having with the mustache here. It's not going well for me at home.
I'm not talking to the mustache.
Oh,
the dogs are not going to hang out with the mustache. The mustache needs to start carrying his weight if the mustache wants to be around.
Can you
talk?
The mustache
needs to start making meals. The mustache needs to start doing some laundry. I'm just sick of kowtowing to the mustache.
I don't blame you.
I'm sick of it.
I don't blame you.
Well, it's going to be a very ugly couple of weeks.
The mustache is not going to Italy. Not going to Italy.
The mustache thinks it is.
Not going to my show. Plus, do you know how much hair Bean actually has now?
Yes, that's the funny part.
First of all, he's growing rock star hair, and it really turns out more to be like Millard Fillmore hair.
First of all, points for Millard Fillmore reference. Second of all, we ask him on a daily basis what his plan is with the hair. He always seems to have one.
There's too much hair going on.
Yeah, I know.
It's like I'm dating, you know, a gay guy met Chewbacca.
Right.
It's not, I can't do this.
But Donna, you knew that when you married him.
I can't do the hair. No, if I had wanted the hair, I would have married Jimmy.
Or Scott Mason.
There's just no way.
Exactly. All right, well, listen.
So you're
out of time.
Is what you're saying. You're in.
No.
That's not what you're saying.
See, Kevin, that's what's so funny about you is we can have this conversation and you honestly still think I'm in.
I really only hear what I think.
That's
I don't
right.
hear the other end of
it's
the conversation.
Bean and the dumb one.
That's what it is. That's correct. It's Bean and the mustached one. How about that?
The mustache
right.
is not
All happy. Right, Donna. Well, thanks for talking to us. The mustache and I will be over after 10.
Yeah, the rest of us won't be here.
All right, see you later.
We actually got this emailed to us by a funny, funny K-Rock listener.
Today we salute you, Mr. Handlebar Mustache Wearer.
Mr. Handlebar Mustache Wearer.
It takes a real fashion pioneer to know some things never go out of style. Like facial hair from the 18th century.
A styling and profiling.
With a little wax and a twist of your fingers, you're an instant man about town. You may not be a Civil War general, but with a handlebar mustache, even a simple computer programmer can rally the troops.
Tally-ho!
Heaven knows we wouldn't be caught dead with one, but it looks good on you.
Ooh.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, soup-straining friend, and know that if you keep wearing it, we'll keep staring at it.
Mr. Handlebar Mustache Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, as it was for Collins.
China Daily is reporting that a bull elephant from Zishuangbanna in southern Yunnan has recovered from a serious heroin addiction. Yep.
That's what happens, by the way, when you leave elephants at home after school unsupervised.
Nope.
This is why they need activities.
This elephant is named Big Brother, was fed heroin-laced bananas.
Why?
Because the guy who was training him thought that it would make him easier to control and thereby control the other elephants.
Aww.
He was using the elephant for work?
I believe so, yes. It just says it was easier to control him and his herd.
Could have been a
that
circus.
Seems like,
or...
like an expensive way to keep your animals in line, doesn't it?
While driving the herd back to Zishuangbanna, Big Brother started drooling and bellowing and even tried to run away. The police were surprised to learn from one of the traders that it was suffering from withdrawal symptoms from heroin.
Oh, you don't want an elephant doing that.
No, you don't.
Oh, my God.
No, you don't.
I think there's a lot of things wrong with this particular story.
Well, we asked producer Lightning if there's somebody he could line up, and I think we do have somebody from the China Daily who can tell us more about this actual true story that's in the paper this week. Good morning, Kevin and Bean Show here from K-Rock. Who's this?
This is Big Brother.
This is
You're the elephant that we were talking about in the story?
Yeah.
Wow. I've been doing this show so long, you'd think I would have seen that coming.
I think so, because we use the same silly voice and the same bit every time we do something like this.
That is true.
I'm surprised.
So how are you feeling now, Big Brother? I understand you've been through rehab.
I'm jonesing for a fix, bitch.
Yeah.
Damn, I want to get high so bad. Yeah. I'm like Scott Weiland at Winnie Rose.
Oh,
it's got to be tough
for
you.
Big Brother.
Oh, yeah, it's my bad. Yeah. Yeah, I hooked him on heroin. Yeah, I'm the bad guy.
You did?
You're right. He never did heroin. My bad. Whoops.
So,
stop with the groaning, bitches.
So, Big Brother.
Very unhappy elephant.
The story is true. Your owner was feeding you heroin-laced bananas, and that's how he was able to get you to do his bidding.
First of all, he's no owner, okay?
He's not an owner.
No, he was a legal elephant trader.
Okay.
Those are people who take elephants illegally in the wild and sell them into captivity.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's just sad.
Read the goddamn story, people! Yeah.
Didn't get that far down.
Read that story!
Now, is it true?
I gotta do everything!
Is it true, Big Brother, that you were...
I'm so angry.
You sound angry.
I could stomp you with my big elephant feet.
Is it true that you were sent to rehab?
Yes, at the Tropical Wildlife Park. That's
okay.
Also in the story, about three quarters way down.
No, I see it. That's why I was asking
you
about it.
You get the paperwork in the beginning of the show. Read it.
It cracks me up that anywhere they are actually providing this service for elephants.
Well, they had no choice. Otherwise, I'd go crazy. I run amok. And you don't want an elephant being amok.
No, you certainly don't. So they've given you grass and sugarcane fruit, and then with that methadone, I guess 50 milligram doses of methadone, and that's how they helped you kick the heroin.
Yes, and I tell you something, grass, sugarcane, and fruit, poor substitute for heroin. I want heroin, not sugarcane.
Oh, it says in the story you've been off it for a year. You still want it?
Yes! Oh. I love heroin. I love to get all high and then watch television, just nod off. Just sleep on couch.
You're an elephant.
Watching episodes of Cops. Oh, that was the good life. Now I'm back in the wild. Now I have to get my own leaves off of trees and crap.
Before I just
order a pizza.
That's true.
It sucks being a heroin addicted elephant.
I'll bet it does.
You have no idea.
I bet I don't.
No, you don't. I bet you don't.
Pretty sure.
I bet a lot of things.
I'm pretty sure I don't realize what it's like to be a heroin addicted elephant.
That's when I'm back in Shishwang Bana. Walla walla bing bang.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. What? What happened?
You look like Brett Favre.
What are you talking about? With your mustache? Of course.
With his goat.
I don't like playoff era Brett Favre,
which has been a while.
Does that mean John Madden's going to come after me?
I think so, yeah.
All right, it's time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You get on the air, you get a prize. Today it's 50 free songs on iTunes. You know, every Tuesday is New Music Tuesday. You can keep listening to K-Rock for updates on new releases and go to iTunes every week. You know, the new Ted Nugent available today, for instance. You wouldn't know that maybe if you didn't go to iTunes, but there you go. Plus, we're also going to throw in a brand new custom limited edition Kevin Amin sanctioned What It Do K-Rock bottle opener. 1-800-520-1067.
I wouldn't know that if I went.
Yeah, where do I go to unlearn that? That's what I want to know. How can I remove that information from my brain?
I have a Ted Nugent screen. My brain does not see it. Eddie in Burbank, good morning.
Eddie?
Edward?
Oh.
Edward, you pick up that phone right now.
No, he can't pick it up. Oh. He's gone. All right, let's say good morning to John in Ontario. Good morning, John.
Morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, John.
Hey, baby boo.
Awesome.
I think I have a reason why Dr. Drew may have been out socially with Andy Dick.
Okay.
I think he's filming a celebrity reality recovery show.
Oh.
That would make more sense than he's in Andy Dick's posse.
that brings it all together, I think.
I think he was just clubbing with Andy Dick.
I don't think I'd want to be responsible for Andy Dick's sobriety.
I think Andy Dick has a new reality show called Dick Clubbing, where he just goes out with people and takes them to clubs.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Thank you for the call. Wow, that seems rough.
Well, it's against the law in the United States to put a television show on without Dr. Drew in it. So whatever the show is, he has to be part of it.
Rebecca in Westwood, good morning.
Hi, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
So I'm currently going to UCLA, and USC had the nerve to put a billboard up saying you would have if you could have.
Oh, no, they didn't. They didn't.
Wow.
No, they didn't.
That is so
rude.
That
is funny.
Yeah. It's pissing a lot of people off over here.
Well, what are you going to do to get back at them?
See, that's just good fun. Now, what are you going to do?
I want to try to get that billboard taken down.
No. Oh, you need your own billboard.
Oh, you try.
You have to shoot back.
Yeah. You need to strike back at the heart.
Any suggestions?
No.
Well, maybe you should have thought about this before you made the wrong choice of which school to go to.
Oh, this is the wrong choice. This is a better school. USC sucks.
Okay. All right.
That's a start. USC sucks. Good. Especially their football team.
All right.
That's true.
Thank you. All right.
Easy, everyone. Easy.
Trying to think of a good billboard she could put up over there.
Hey!
That's the billboard.
Seen your kid lately, Leinart?
Oh, that one.
Oh, very nice.
There you go.
I like it.
We haven't killed anybody.
Very
That's
nice.
True. Is that
our football players have not sliced our ex-wife's heads off.
Oh, dear God.
Speaking of football and pranks, you guys saw over the weekend, I imagine, the kid who got he got suspended, but he pulled one of those pranks with the cards that you hold up in the stadium.
Yeah.
You know, he got in and switched around the order of the cards, and the team ended up holding up, or excuse me, the fans in the audience held up cards that say "We suck" instead of "Go team" or whatever it was supposed to be.
That's and awesome. That guy should be rewarded handsomely.
And instead, he got suspended for like a week or something like that. But it's very, very funny when something like that when you get the other school's students to play your prank on them. It's pretty cool.
Matt and Corona. Good morning.
Good morning. What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Well, my girlfriend was in Vegas like a week and a half ago, and she was in line to get into Pure, and Chris Angel showed up to get in, and so they were all excited or whatever, and they didn't let him in because he allegedly didn't have a photo ID, so he got denied.
Really?
Couldn't he magically make one appear out from behind the guy's ear or something? Oh, here's my license. It's up your nose.
Bling! That must have been a doorman that just didn't want to let him in because it's clear who he is.
Yeah, they knew who he was,
That stupid-ass hair and all that.
Couldn't he just
go around and walk through the wall of the club and just appear on the other side? Where's his magic when he needs it?
That's a good point. How can he not get past that guy?
Just levitate through the service entrance or something? Just show up behind the bar.
It is funny. The guy claims on his show he can walk through walls, yet he can't get past one doorman at a nightclub.
Yes, exactly my point when I said, why didn't he walk through a wall and go into the club?
Think what Ralph
was
saying.
What I was shooting for.
I'm going to lose them.
Mercedes?
Yes.
In downtown Los Angeles? Well, who are you going to lose?
You know what? I thought I better pull over and park because I'm on my cell and it seems like there's a bad cell area.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my God. I better pull over because I'm going to lose them.
What's going on?
I just wanted to thank Ralph Garman for talking about heroes because I really loved it.
Oh, easy now.
Oh,
you kissed your 13-year-old daughter with that mouth?
Love you guys. I'm
wow,
sorry.
It's too bad that we had a good connection for that.
No.
That came through loud and clear.
It's all right. We got out of delay. But you can't say the S word, and also, Mercedes, you can't say the F word. Both new rules.
I didn't say that.
No, I know. But you will.
You will.
It's a preemptive strike on our part.
Only a matter of time.
So, hey, Lisa May, I love you. I love listening to you guys in the morning. You
thanks,
guys are
Mercedes.
Awesome. And I just wanted to say thanks to Ralph, because that has got to be the most awesome show I've ever seen. And I don't usually watch TV. You guys can talk to me about any cartoon on any network, kids network. But when it comes to TV series, that has been probably the only one I've ever watched.
All right.
Thanks, Ralph.
Mercedes, you're very,
very welcome.
Very excited about a show that's been off the air now for 4 months.
But it's coming back soon.
It's back, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, season 2 is coming up soon. So.
All right, potty mouth, hold on.
Glad you watched. Jeez. Yeah.
By the way, no one listens to me when I say this, but maybe they'll listen to Lisa, and that is that season 1 of Friday Night Lights is also out on DVD as of last week. And if you didn't catch that, it's first go-round. You
Ups
really owe it
to yourself.
That's
all I'm getting.
It's an awesome show.
It really
Friday
is.
Friday Night Lights.
One of the best shows on television.
Maybe people will listen to Lisa when I tell you to watch it again. Shouldn't Lisa be saying that if you want people to listen to Lisa?
Lisa should be saying it, probably.
I tried to get a word in edgewise, but it was difficult.
Yeah. Here's Lisa telling you how great Friday Night Lights is.
Friday Nights is a great show. You should watch
it. Oh, maybe I'll go get it then.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe you should have walked through walls then instead of trying to get past the bouncer. You ever think about that?
Maybe you should have.
Lydia in Sylmar, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi, Lydia.
What's going on?
Well, I was listening to the conversation you were having earlier about the whole mustache.
Yeah.
I love mustaches.
There we go.
That's funny and all.
That's what?
That's funny and all.
She does. She actually
loves
them.
That.
I do. I like them. I like, you know, the big rugged look. Oh, I love it. I think it's hot.
Well, these guys don't have that, but they will have mustaches.
And we're going to get those T-shirts that say free mustache rides. We're going to wear those T-shirts around, too. There we go. Yeah.
You don't have a rugged look going.
No, there's nothing rugged about us.
No.
Lydia, sorry.
But they're trying.
Thank you, though. It's nice of you to call and
try. Okay, well, I just wanted to say that. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. One vote for stashes.
Nice of you to say.
That's a wonderful call to end on, by the way, because it's the only positive reinforcement we've gotten on this stupid idea of mustaches. So we're very happy about that. I want to thank all of our guests.
Ralph completely forgot.
I forgot all week.
Say
Psycho
Mike.
Completely forgot.
Yeah. I didn't forget. I gave up faith.
Omar has like 6 inches of beard already since the weekend.
It's insane. He looks like a fugitive.
Yes. All right. Are we doing it or are we not doing it? Because I'll shave if we're not going to do it.
We're doing it.
You're doing it.
Ralph can catch you up by tomorrow,
Bean. Yeah, exactly. I'll catch up. I just forgot this weekend.
And what is the goal of doing it? Is it to get to a certain date? I mean, obviously it's not going to be a competition because Omar wins that because he's, you know, one of them.
The goal is the four of us grow mustaches and we start singing barbershop quartet songs.
I didn't realize that was the goal.
Performing at senior citizen centers around the South.
Terrible
Southland.
Goal.
It's gonna be great. We'll wear straw hats and striped shirts.
All right. At least now we have something to shoot
goal.
For.
Good times.
Lydia will be there. She'll be our only listener, but she'll be there.
I want to thank our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Clive Owen for joining us. His new film is called Shoot 'Em Up. It opens up on Friday. He is a terrific actor, and the movie does look very good. Also, thanks to Bill Cower for joining us. Don't forget, the DirecTV NFL Sunday ticket is available. Call 800-DIRECTV. And you can also see Mr. Cower, the former coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, on NFL Today as an analyst for CBS. And I think that's everybody for today.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have a K-Rock listener named James who is looking for an NFL team.
Man without a team.
Got to find a team. And I know what that feels like. I tried to do that before. I think last season sometime I tried to do that. But then I realized I'm stuck with Arizona, which blows because Arizona blows. But I can't really be a fan of somebody else. So this guy's going to try and find a new team. He's going to start fresh.
He's been auditioning teams around the league.
How do you audition a team?
He's been sending letters to their management saying, I don't have a team. Would you like me to root for yours? Tell me why and send me some free stuff.
That's a great idea.
Like they don't have anything better to do with their
job. He's gotten some responses. He's gotten boxes of hats and sweatshirts and jerseys and bumper stickers and stuff with letters from the team owners, from the head office saying, here's why we think you should root for us.
Well, it's a lot more fun if you're going to pick a team out of thin air and you have no affiliation with them because of where you're from or anything, to go ahead and pick a winning team. Like go with the Colts maybe rather than the Lions would be one tip I would give him.
I pick a team if the guy is a dogfighter. That's why I like my team.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey.
I still think it's okay. I think he should play for them.
We also have the director of a new HBO documentary called Children of God, Lost and Found, named Noah Thompson. It's an amazing documentary that's on
TV.
Hilarious. It's not funny.
So funny.
Nope, not at all funny. Tomorrow, since we're going to Vegas after the show, we're going to talk about my professional behavior in years past.
Yes!
When it comes to Vegas.
You should be ashamed of yourself. How do you sleep at night? Give me water.
Kevin, that's my water.
You can buy more. Give me water.
Bye.
Come on.
My water.
You guys are so exaggerating.
You're so drunk.
Aisle number three. Hold on. Wait, no. Line two. It's Christine. I went. Okay, wait.
At least we're not going to be there Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and do the show Monday. At least that's not
going to
happen.
Oh, dear
God. I pity the fools.
I may die. And tomorrow we're also going to set up one of our things in Vegas, which is that we're going to go to a gun range, and we're going to fire semi-automatic weapons, AK-47s and whatnot. So
those are some good weapons.
Part of the plan.
Don't give Kevin a gun.
All my added weapons.
Kevin's going to be drunk with a weapon. That's not good.
You really can't do much damage with a weapon, though. That's the good news.
It's a gun made out of a wiffle ball bat. A weapon.
Well, let's find out if they let us go. We have that meeting with big management in about a half an hour.
Yeah,
so I don't know if the new morning show will be debuting from Las Vegas on Thursday. I don't know yet.
No, I think this meeting's going to go as well as the others.
Our next trip may be down the unemployment lines. We'll be doing a live show from there.
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Foo Fighters' latest is The Pretender, also new Beck called Time Bomb, Blink-182, Linkin Park, Nirvana, White Stripes, and more right after this on K-Rock.